You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I believe I ate that.
You ate my sandwich?
It was a simple mistake. It could happen to anyone.
Really? Did you confuse it with your own turkey sandwich with a moist maker?
No.
Do you perhaps remember seeing a note on top of it?
There may have been a joke or limerick of some kind.
That said, it was my sandwich.
Now calm down. Come look in my office. Some of it may still be in the trash. What? Well, it was quite large. I had to throw most of it away.
You threw my sandwich away. My sandwich? My sandwich?
Here is gonna be fun.
And I ain't telling you nothing.
Hell, for the first three or four seconds, it just might be. Ooh, hey, fellas, look at there. You fellas found a big one.
Yeah, that hell pulled him over his mama's tit.
Hungry bugger, isn't he?
Yeah. Starving.
You hear that, asshole?
Screw you, I ain't talking. What's the baby cow gonna do to me? Hey, come on, man, what you doing?
I am embarrassed. Our friend here is not wearing any underpants.
Oh, he sees it.
Damn. That hungry devil there thinks your little weenie is his mama's tit.
Hey, wait a minute, man. You guys can't do this.
I'll ask you one more time, asshole. Where's Teresa?
I ain't telling you shit.
It's your call, Stubby. Let him go, Pepper.
Whoa!
Damn, that looks like it hurts.
They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God!
Load of that.
Yeah, we had a blowout a while back.
Raunchy, very raunchy.
Yeah! Hey, everybody! Woo!
Hey, everybody! It's time for Nowhere Mulberry! Thank you very much. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. It's time for film, television, and pop culture talk. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. I would like to introduce to you now the people I do the show with. We have Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How's it going, Bill?
I'm terrific.
Awesome. Steven called me this morning around 8:30 and goes, hey, I'm going to be late to the show. And I was like, you are every week. Why are you calling
me
so early?
He's a prophet.
Why are you calling me so early, Steven? We also have here Laura, the Mulberry,
female.
The Mulberry female. Yeah.
I'm the one and only female.
How's it going, Laura?
It's going great.
Welcome back to the show. Are you enjoying this? Is your family liking this or hating this?
I'm like, feed yourselves, I'm leaving.
We have canned laughter now on the show.
Great.
Just so you guys know that. So
and good, golf claps.
Good times.
I love golf claps.
But it's nice to have you back, Laura. I hope you're enjoying the show.
I am.
As far as I know, I mean, I listen back to the show every week after we do it. I just want to hear things, you know, take notes. And Steven was horrible here. Let me jot that down. Need to fix that. Yell at him about this. No, but do you listen to the show after it's...
I do, yeah.
Is it kind of weird going from... You started listening to the shows and then now you're on them. Is that weird?
Well, it's funny because when we're recording the shows, I'm not noticing everything everybody's saying.
Right. Oh, yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, it can be very difficult to hear over one another.
Yeah, and then I'm listening to it, and I'm like, hey, Steven actually said something funny, and nobody heard him.
Oh, poor Steven.
We ignore Steven a lot. It's just part of the comedy.
Now, yeah, well, the problem is, yeah, we're all talking. I'm thinking of my latest zinger I'm about to whip out. And
let me whip this out.
Oh, my.
Not being used to my ability.
I know, Steven. I'm sorry. Don't worry. Steven will be here later on during the show. He'll just surprise us at a certain moment.
That's a great thing.
Yes. Yes, it is. Now, Bill and Laura, I have a few things I jotted down because I do this sometimes where I want to talk about something, but I forget to. And one of them is that, Bill, you and I have barely talked about this, but Andy Whitfield of Spartacus, his cancer has come back, and he's not going to do the second season of the show, which is really a bummer. There's probably a reason we didn't bring it up, because it's a bummer.
It is a bummer. And, plus, it happened while I think I was off.
Right. Yeah, when you weren't on the show. It was like one of those weeks where we didn't do a show, and he wished them nothing but the best, and they were thinking about not doing the show. You know, a second season of Spartacus. But that's crazy. I mean, think of how many people are employed. It's just a bummer thinking about that. I know what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to recast him. I don't want to have to think about that or who's going to play him. Hopefully,
I was hoping they wouldn't, but you're right about the cast and crew.
I understand. I understand it's business and there's, you know, a lot of people who have jobs and got to eat, and it's such a great series and stuff. And I just, you know, I would hire this new guy, whoever they get, like some Carl Urban wannabe, and go, just so you know, when Andy recovers, you're out season 3. Okay.
Yeah. I would have to say the same thing.
And he'd be like, okay, well, at least I'll be in season 2. No. We're going to digitally overlay his face on you once the season's over and he's back again. Oh, okay. So we need you to wear a green suit the entire shoot of the show.
We need you to have
a body
green
double.
Hoodie.
Yeah, green hoodie the whole time. It's
like Mushmouth. Just pull it down and cut out his eyes.
Oh, well, thank you. It's good to have that immediate feedback, isn't it, Bill?
It's much better than the forum.
Are two people who comment on it. But you know what? Whenever anyone takes the time to comment on the forum, like Swiley or Positively Ken, it's awesome. I enjoy
it. Yeah, even Mike from one of my favorite shows ever, Chinstroker versus Punter,
yeah,
popped in.
That was really cool.
Yeah, love that guy.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, whoa. Okay, here's some other cheery news, Bill. Huge, the show that you and I loved, was canceled.
Whoa. Oh. That's
fuckers. I'm sorry, did I say that under my breath? Oh. That is one of those shows that I could relate to. There was this point in my life where I had three sisters, and they would eat, and then I would be like, well, I'm hungry too. I want to eat. And each time one of them would come home from school, I would eat right after them, because I guess I wanted the attention. So eventually I went from this skinny kid to this large and in charge individual. And I just kind of related to the show. And I thought it was, it wasn't really well written, but it was entertaining, and it broached subjects in a pretty, docile way.
But, it had stuff on the show that you don't find anywhere else, which was great.
No.
And, everyone is insecure at that age. I don't care if you're what size you are, or your complexion, or whatever, the clothes you're wearing. And that's what that age is like, where everything is so damn insecure.
Awkward.
What I mean? Awkward. You get so embarrassed over everything. So it was cool that a show had something like that. And, it had moments where I would hide my eyes because it was so embarrassing,
Sure. But that's only because it was real.
Yeah.
Like the one character, the girl that was sister to the gay guy, Alistair.
Right.
And she was the nerd 1 year, and then she comes the next year and she's trying to get in with the in crowd and all that. I think everyone has experienced that, wanting to be popular, be with that group. I know I went through it in high school.
Right. And, they even have that demographic of even, say, people who feel like rejects. There's a hierarchy there, too, where it's the cool rejects and then the real rejects.
The re-rejects.
Yeah. And that,
the re-re-rejects.
And I thought that was cool. And also, they had a good perspective of the adults who also used to be that way and still had issues because of it.
Yeah, like the camp owner, the counselor.
Right. And the show could be really funny, too. It was just a good show, and
charming.
I mean, that's the second show on ABC Family that I love that got canceled. The other one was The Middleman.
The Middleman really didn't even deserve to be on ABC Family. It was too good for ABC Family.
It should have been, on Sci-Fi or something.
Yeah, I think it would have lasted on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad. But
and honestly, I have to admit that I watched Kyle XY. It was on ABC Family, and they canceled that after, I think, three seasons and on a cliffhanger.
Well, at least it got three seasons. That's pretty cool.
That's true, yeah.
But, Bill, also, Left 4 Dead The Sacrifice came out this week, and that's a game that's on Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, right? We bought both of them. We only played the first one. But Laura, who's a Left 4 Dead,
devotee?
Yeah.
Fanatic, kind of insane over the game. How often do you play Left 4 Dead?
Every single day.
Yeah, anytime I pop on the Xbox, which hasn't been that often lately, I see Left 4 Dead. And I was like,
do you mean
there's
like every single day this week or since it's come out?
Since it's come out.
But I've seen you stick to the original.
You know what? I go through phases where I like to play Left 4 Dead 2, and then I'm like, I want to play Left 4 Dead 1 because I like the character so much better.
Yeah, same here.
But
me too, yeah.
I don't know what it is. My husband thinks there's something wrong with me, but it's like just mindless, of just killing the zombies, and I don't know why. Yeah. It's like therapeutic for me.
It's no different than people that kind of get addicted to the casual gaming like Farmville.
And
it's just something to take your mind off of everything.
Yeah.
Right.
And just, give some zombies.
I can understand that. There was a, I like the game a lot, but I don't like to play it alone at all.
Really?
I will not play Left 4 Dead by myself.
No, I'm bored senseless when I play it alone.
Yeah, because it's just robots, the bots you're playing with,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fun part about Left 4 Dead is playing with other people and laughing your ass off. Or just like when Bill and I, you and I are laughing because things just went to hell so fast.
Oh,
and we both
my gosh. That, we died. I think we died no less than six times on the final stage where you have to get to the bridge, flip the switch, and then get back down and sacrifice yourself. It was so frustrating.
Well, the final stage of that is ridiculous.
And it was so funny. We were trying to figure out. First of all, I kept playing. We died like three times on the ending where finally I was like, so what are we supposed to be doing? Like, I didn't even know. And Bill was like, one of us is supposed to sacrifice ourselves. And I was like, oh, well, you're supposed to because you're Bill in the game. And Bill, you were like, no, that's just part of the script. You can do it too. And it's like, oh, I don't want to sacrifice myself. Why don't you do it? So,
and I was getting so pissed off because I had I had to take my mom into Columbus for an appointment at like 3:30, and we were playing it, and I was like, "Oh, we got to do it this time. We got to do it this time."
It's hard as hell.
Well, did you notice there's a lot more zombies in this than the previous campaigns?
Well, that part has four tanks on
it. There was one point when I played again with my son Severin, and I was counting the tanks, and there were more coming, and I was like, "There's seven tanks."
Yeah, they're basically telling you, if you want to flip that generator, do it now. That's hilarious.
Yeah, but it's
fun. I would try to go down to the generator, and then one of the tanks would see me, and then another tank would see, and it just got – I was getting bombarded with the concrete.
Don't you hate also – I was trying to stay down there. Like, I'm going to just stay down here, and you go up there, Bill. And so, of course, a hunter jumps on me right then. I'm like, ah, no one can help me because I'm around the corner. Like, okay, stupid idea.
So, well, and plus they have two NPCs going at it, and they just stand there on the bridge. They don't do anything. You're like, well, why can't you tell them to sacrifice themselves?
But
like, it's in Dead Rising, you can tell the person you're rescuing where to go. There should be that sort of command whenever you're playing with the NPCs to be like, go there, do that.
Well, I was going to say, some people have complained about the bots on Left 4 Dead that sometimes they'll be standing right next to you and you're getting attacked and they're like,
stupid.
Or you know how many times one has taken a health pack? I'm like, you bastard, give me that. You have to stand next to him like, please heal me. Please heal
me. Hoping that they heal you.
But I was going to say that a game I've been playing a lot, Red Dead Redemption, the cowboy game. Bill, I know you played the whole thing. Is coming out with an expansion.
Undead Nightmare.
Where it's zombies. It's Western setting with zombies. I've seen like pictures of it. I haven't seen any moving action of it.
I was reading about it because I guess it's been playable at a couple. I think the New York Comic Con that's going on right now, it's playable. And they are saying one of the modes is you have to set coffins on fire to burn the undead and then dig up different parts of something that you need to put together before a certain point in time. And it sounds really cool, the different modes that are going to be in it.
Well, one thing I heard that was cool is you have a blunderbuss that will, like, just blow the zombies away. But you have to, like, you know how you harvest or – what am I thinking? When you carve up animals and collect the fur, you have to do that to the zombie to get the blunderbuss bullet
out of
them.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, is you have to dig up the bullets.
Yeah, that is awesome. I totally want to cut up zombies.
Dig them out of dead bodies with ammo.
Well, I even saw a picture of like a zombie cow.
There was a picture of you riding a zombie horse too.
A zombie horse?
Yep.
That is so sweet.
It doesn't look that much different from the first horse you get in multiplayer.
Yeah, the emaciated
horse that
well,
I felt bad
I
even riding.
That.
But you know, one thing, Laura, you were telling me about Left 4 Dead. You played the Left 4 Dead 2, The Sacrifice, and you said it's exact same level.
It's the exact same thing, but the only difference is you get the Left 4 Dead 2 weapons and the Left 4 Dead 2 special infected are in it.
So it's not a different level?
It's not different at all.
What about that point where you have to open up the train car? Is there a tank in that?
There's still a tank in that, yeah.
Okay.
It's still the same.
Huh. All right. So yeah, I was thinking, Bill, it was going to be like you played the other one and it would be like – a continuation of the level or maybe going the other direction as the other characters or something.
Well, you would think if you can, you have to pay for both, that they would at least tell you, hey, this is the exact same thing.
Well, no, but they also add No Mercy too, right?
But No Mercy is the same thing. It's still the Left 4 Dead 1 characters playing No Mercy, but you have the Left 4 Dead 2 weapons and they're special infected.
Are the graphics updated?
It didn't seem any different to me.
Okay. Hmm.
Well, we'll get our money's worth and we'll play that.
Yeah.
But still, awesome. Good times, right, guys?
Good times.
Now, let's play some voicemail. What do you guys say?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Why is that funny? I don't know. But,
because our voicemail's lacking.
Let's see. Do we have any voicemail?
Oh, my God!
Yes, we do. Ross, hey, let's see what Ross has to tell us. What do you want, Ross? Oh, wait, that didn't sound right.
What do you want?
Hey, Ross, how's it going?
Hey, Noah and Mulberry guys. This is Ross from the Bay Area of California calling you on my cell phone. So if I embarrass myself, there's no way I can edit it out. Actually, this message is for Sean, not you guys. Hey, Sean, how you doing, buddy? I really like your voicemails. I really like the episodes of Heroes that you worked on. I was wondering if you would like to be my roommate for NIMFest in May, if it goes down. All right, Sean, I'll talk to you later. You have a good one. Bye.
All right. They're already planning on NIMFest, Bill.
Hey, I'm there.
That's sweet. We'll try to make it hospitable for you when you visit.
Hospitality. And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
Awesome. That's the
is he gonna host the NIMFest at his house?
What are you gonna do to me, Danny?
No, you know, last week during the DVDs, Bill, I don't know why I'm bringing this up right now, but I just had to. I talked about Mad Max and the undubbed version and the dubbed version.
Yeah.
Well, I put a little moment in the intro where the guy goes, raunchy, very raunchy, you know, and I was just like, wow, it sounds like Speed Racer or something. So I went back and I listened to the Australian version, the undub. Just check this out. This is Australian Mad Max right here.
Get a lot of that.
Yeah, we had a blowout a while back.
Raunchy, very raunchy.
Okay. Interesting. I still don't know why it says that, but now here's the American dubbed version that I saw my entire life on VHS.
Get a load of that.
Yeah, we had a blowout a while back.
Raunchy, very raunchy.
What in the hell?
What, the guy really was like, raunchy, very raunchy. What the hell?
I don't understand why they had to, you know, it was such a throwaway comment to then go, well, I think we can make it even better.
Yeah, do it up.
Yeah. Just listen to this.
Raunchy, very raunchy.
Raunchy, very raunchy.
And also, just listen to Mel Gibson's voice in the... Okay, let's listen to the original again. Mel Gibson's voice.
Get a lot of that.
Yeah, we had a blowout a while back.
Raunchy, very raunchy.
Okay, he's the one who says, we had a blowout a while back. Now listen to the Speed Racer voice. I don't know.
Get a load of that.
Yeah, we had a blowout a while back.
Raunchy, very raunchy.
Yeah, we had a blowout. You know,
it honestly sounds like people doing American impressions.
Yeah, like they're not really Americans and they're just doing that.
Yeah.
But, it's very cartoonish.
But, Laura, you can attest that I have raunchy, very raunchy has been part of my vocabulary since I was a teenager. Raunchy, very raunchy. You know, it even gets more exaggerated as I'm saying it, you know. But that's pretty, I guess, raunchy if you want to describe it, isn't it?
Raunchy, very raunchy.
It makes me, for some reason, it makes me crave Cool Ranch Doritos. Maybe ranchy, raunchy, I don't know.
Ranchy, very ranchy.
They should use that in a commercial.
And there's also in that scene, he in the Australian version, I forget what he calls it, but he says something about the engine, but he calls it some slang term. He goes, anything wrong with the something? It's like some word, but in the American version, he goes, anything wrong with the engine? You know, it's like... Now, guys...
Is it like the guy from Bravo? Yeah. Anything wrong with the engine? On Bravo.
The engine on Bravo. Okay, we got another voicemail. This Adam. Let's check out. You guys all know Adam, right?
Adam.
Do you guys remember him?
Yeah.
Let's check this out.
Hello, NIM guys and gal, apparently. So this is Adam from the Bay Area, and I'm calling in to say episode 214 was one of the greater episodes I've ever listened to. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Hold on, I got Ross calling me. What's up, dude? Oh, cool, I'm leaving mine right now. You did that? Nice, okay.
Like your voicemail, and really enjoyed the episode of Heroes that you worked on. I was just wondering if you'd like to be my roommate at Infant today. All right, I'll talk to you later, buddy. Have a good one.
That's hilarious. Meta. Hey, well, I'm in the middle of recording an MP3 voicemail, so I should scat. I'm going to do it, buddy. I'm doing it up. I'm going to normalize. I'm going to EQ. I'm going to level 8. It's going to be awesome. Maybe throw a couple of glass shattering sound effects in there.
You know, you should do this some random stab. Like, you know,
beep. Deer, 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 beanie, deer.
With no music.
Yeah, I love it.
They're doing their own show.
Yeah,
anyway, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
So anyways, guys, like I was saying, episode 214 was probably one of the better episodes. There was a particular part that was very funny, and it was when you guys were discussing the celebrity deaths that had taken place, and you were saying that Quentin Tarantino's editor died from heat stroke or from the heat or something like that, and then you guys moved on to a Geraldo somebody or other. You said, oh, from Jason said, oh, from heat stroke, and Bill said, no, he had cancer, and Jason said, I bet the heat didn't help. I don't know why, but I thought that was hilarious. Like, I really found that funny.
And
saying it over right now makes me feel kind of goofy that I'm even bringing it up. But I thought it was hilarious, and it's those little moments on the show that I really, really enjoy. Bill, it's great to have you back. Stevie Weavy, time to leave you, even though he's coming back, came back, and it sounded really, really good. Wait, and Laura, it's very nice that you've come back as well. I like the female voice, the female presence on the show, and I think it's really good. So I'm glad, and I can't wait to listen to this week's episode. You guys have a great show tonight, and I'll be listening to it on Tuesday instead of tonight. I'd like to listen to it tonight, but can't do it tonight. Too busy. So anyways, have a great show. Talk to you guys soon.
Adam, you're not busy. Why aren't you listening?
Raunchy, very raunchy.
That was a strange voicemail.
Yeah, that was strange.
I'm confused still.
Didn't the voicemail fold in on itself somehow?
It did.
I felt like I was intruding on their phone conversation.
But it was like weird time displacement. Ross was calling him, but he's already sent the voicemail. Very strange.
We entered the event horizon.
But also what's weird is he was talking directly to Sean, who is our next voicemail. So it gets even...
Please tell me Sean doesn't talk to Ross. If it does, my head might explode.
Yes. Gotta love Ross. Because, you know, he's really protective of his sandwich, Bill.
My sandwich.
Exactly.
Did it have a moist maker?
The moist maker.
You threw my sandwich away.
All right, Sean voicemail. Let's check it out.
Hey, what's going on, Mulberry? It's Sean here in L.A.
Oh, there's
Sean. It was so awesome to listen to last week's episode and hear,
I'm gonna
you know,
grab
Jason,
a blanket
Bill,
and a pillow.
Stephen, and Laura, all you guys, all on the show. It was awesome. Welcome back to Bill and Steven. And I'm sorry, Laura, that I did not say hello to you last week. So if you're there again this week, hello.
Hello.
But yeah, the show was just really awesome from beginning to end. You guys haven't missed a step since the last time you were all together, and I really enjoyed the entire episode from start to finish. So really good job, guys. And I just wanted to chime in on your little discussion on The Room. Yeah, you guys who haven't seen it definitely need to go out of your way to see it because it is, without a doubt, one of the worst movies ever made, but it is also one of the most entertaining movies ever made because it's
definitely.
So ridiculously awful, honestly. I mean, Rick from Australia, if you haven't seen it, that should be your next Rick review.
Oh, I would kill for that.
You'll do it justice, and maybe it'll be an even better review if you have a couple beers or a few beers. It'll be really good. The funny thing with that movie is every month in Hollywood, they have a screening at midnight where basically everyone goes to watch it. And it's kind of like Rocky Horror, where everyone knows the lines and all, you know, all the funny things about it. And the director, who, that crazy guy, Tommy Wiseau, who wrote and directed and acted in it, he shows up pretty much every time, every month, and he does a Q&A beforehand. He greets everybody, and it's just an awesome experience. I've gotten to go twice, and it's just so much fun. Like the scenes where Bill was talking about, where they just play, they just toss around a football for no reason. When those scenes come on, these guys, they just run up the aisles of the movie theater and they toss footballs to each other. It's so freaking awesome.
And wow.
The movie is so bad that there are a few sex scenes in it that are just ridiculously bad. But what makes it even worse is that they reuse footage from the first sex scene later on in the movie. So about halfway through the movie, there's a sex scene with the same footage from the first time. And at that point, everyone just leaves the theater for 2 or 3 minutes because they just are like, yeah, we've seen this shit before. And everyone just goes out into the theater, into the lobby. So it's just awesome stuff like that that makes it just a really fun experience. So yeah, definitely check out The Room. And I don't know if you guys have been or watched the new incarnation of Hawaii Five-0. I know how much you guys love Scott Kahn, and I'm not that big a fan of him myself, but I think on the show he doesn't actually come across as irritating as usual. I think he does a decent job, and the show is pretty stupid, but it's fun. And I guess I'm a little biased because I grew up in Hawaii, and there's just pretty much every episode, every moment of the episode, whenever, you know, they shoot on location, and I know where they shoot, things like that. It's just fun to see it for me, you know, things from my back home. So it's, I just enjoy it. But if you guys haven't watched it, you should check it out. It's just a dumb police procedural, but, you know, I like it. So I think I'll be watching that. But yeah, that's about it. So I will talk to you guys later. Have a great next show. All right. Love you. Bye.
Thank you, Sean.
Sean's not doing a whole lot to make me like him because he's got this nice, soothing voice. And then he says, well, I grew up in Hawaii. It's like, dude, you know what? I don't like you because I want to grow up in Hawaii.
I know. Talk about sweet. You know, I was thinking, like, there's this show called Chase on NBC about this U.S. Marshal chases fugitives every week in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I'm always thinking, damn, there's a lot of escape fugitives in the DFW area. But I can see things that are recognizable where I live. But I'd rather live in Hawaii and recognize those places.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe that's why he has such a soothing voice, because he grew up in Hawaii.
Because he's laid back.
But thanks a lot, Sean. I always love your voicemails. And we would play a Rick voicemail here, but he forgot about us, I guess.
No,
Rick. He had a good streak going, didn't he, Bill?
He did.
It's just
every once in a while he's got to take some time off.
Right. So, guys, no Rick voicemail this week.
Oh my God!
The goblins ate him.
That's the longest "Oh my God" I've ever heard.
I know.
Oh. They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me.
Then they're going to eat me.
What's sad about The Room thing and Tommy Wiseau showing up is he has seen how much of this film has, like, become a cult film for being bad.
Right.
And he goes these things and he's like, no, it's not. It was meant to be bad. It's a parody. It's not. You know, he's totally full of shit because he's.
Yeah.
And that was the same thing with Troll 2 is when the Italian director found out its cult status, he was like, oh, wow, people really love my film. They understand it. They understand that it's about the strength of family and how vegetarian people are evil. And
like,
I'm going to go to America and see
shit.
That people truly understand it. And he gets there and sees that everyone's laughing at it because it's horrible. And he gets all pissed off.
I won't allow it.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, I made a shitty movie, at least somebody enjoys it. But it's just like, they got my message. Dude, what message? There ain't no message, buddy.
No, there's absolutely no message in a scene where a woman has sex with another guy and they eat a piece of corn on the cob together, and the sex is so hot that the corn pops into popcorn.
No.
Yeah.
That is literally in Troll 2, I'm telling you.
Damn, that looks like it hurts.
They're both eating the corn on the cob together, and they get so hot that the corn starts popping.
Wow.
I am embarrassed.
I am too.
Well, Bill, what do you say we do some entertainment?
Let's do it.
Entertainment! Did anyone see any movies this week?
No.
No.
What movies came out this week, Bill? We have the Secretariat movie about a horse.
The other movie about another horse. Isn't Seabiscuit.
I'll just watch Seabiscuit again, I guess.
Who's the audience for these movies?
Women?
I mean, I can understand a sports movie like triumphing over adversity, but I don't care about a horse.
Yeah.
And I don't care about the people that own the horse.
And I guess Randall Wallace directed this. The only reason I know that is because of Entourage.
Does anybody cry freedom in it?
And you know what?
Does the horse win the Triple Crown and go, freedom!
The actor who plays E on Entourage is also in the movie.
Oh, boy.
But also this new Katherine Heigl movie came out. And the only reason I'm bringing this up, Bill, is because I saw a commercial where they're playing the song Salisbury Hill by Peter Gabriel. And we've talked about that a long time ago. It's like that you just don't put that in your trailers anymore, okay?
Not anymore.
Is this a movie with Josh Duhamel or whatever?
Duhamel. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that looks
bad.
They
dropped the baby. Child endangerment is hilarious, you guys.
They dropped the baby?
That's part of the trailer where he's got the baby and he drops it on the floor. And he's like,
oh, no.
And the lady goes...
Is this the prequel to Goonies, the story of Chunk?
Yeah. And this lady goes, don't worry, I drop mine lots of times. And I was like,
okay.
Wow.
Just Mama, drop?
Give him some Rocky Road later.
Rocky Road?
So any movies coming out next week?
I can't believe they're still putting movies out with Katherine Heigl.
Bill, what movie's coming out? What movie's coming out next week, Bill? I really want to see. I can't compute.
I'm looking right now. Give me 1 second. Now playing. watch out. That cow's going to get you weaned. All right.
Our friend here is not wearing any underpants.
Worst movie. If anybody knows what movie's that from, you should be embarrassed. Okay. I know. I see the movie you really want to see. Jackass 3D, right?
3D?
3D.
Why does that need to be in 3D?
You hear that, asshole?
No, I do not want to see Jackass 3D. I haven't seen the first two Jackass movies.
Well, you need to see the 3D then.
Although I am a huge fan of Wee Man. Because he's a
I love Wee Man.
He's a Wee Man. He's a, he's a tiny little guy.
And you know, I'm almost embarrassed for his parents that they named him that. His last name is really Wee Man, and his first name is Wee.
Yeah, they're like, he's going to be a Wee Man. Were they Irish, too? Or?
I assume they were. Right off the boat.
Oh, my God!
They had potatoes in their backpacks.
All right, I realized...
the movie you want to see is Red.
Yes, that's
what
it.
What is that? Red.
That's
it's a Bruce Willis loosely movie. Based on a Warren Ellis comic about a ex-spy that they're trying to take out, but I think they expanded it to include like three more characters.
Right. It's got Helen Mirren, and this is where it sold me. Helen Mirren on a mounted machine gun going...
Oh, God.
And I was like, yes!
That rocks.
That'll
get the grandparents in there.
But I was going to say, I just realized the Troll 2 clip, he doesn't say, oh, my God. He says, oh, my gosh.
Really?
Listen to this closely.
Oh, my God!
I don't know. I heard, oh, my God.
I swear he goes, shh.
Maybe he has a
well,
wrist.
That would be less offensive.
Yeah, it would.
I won't allow it.
Oh, okay. You won't allow that. But Red, that's it. I want to check that movie out, Bill. It looks pretty funny.
Yeah, the comic book's not very good, so they can only improve upon it.
Yeah, might as well. So what do you say we check out what is on our TiVos? Let's do it. All right, what's on our TiVo? But before we do that, we have a person who joined us, Bill. Who is it?
What is on our TiVo?
It's Steven!
Oh my God!
Oh my God, it's Steven! Steven,
I can have a wife for you.
I'm so...
He just got back from Nilbog.
Yes, Nilbog. You know what Nilbog is backwards, right, Steven?
Don't make me think.
It's Goblin. Now, Steven, I'm glad you're back, because do you guys remember a long time ago, somewhere in the hundreds, we had this little moment here of Bad Girls Club.
I love juice. Juice makes me happy. Nothing like a cold cup of juice.
Yep.
Genius. And then, you know, what happened is they put hot sauce in her juice. Then all hell broke loose.
They put hot sauce in my juice! It's in my juice!
You wow. never put hot sauce in anyone's juice. But cut to now.
Especially her juice.
Yes. Cut to now, Bill, and it's season 14 of the Bad Girls Club. And we've got girls throwing shit on each other. There's these two girls. You know, I don't watch the show. I've just seen this clip. These two bitches want this other bitch out of the house. So they're like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to throw shit all over her. We've got milk, we've got juice, and stuff Love like juice. That. They're just throwing crap mm-hmm. on her just to annoy her. So she's like, you know what I'm going to do to these bitches? I'm going to throw bleach on them. So she,
oh my God. Wow.
She decides to throw bleach on a girl, and the girl freaks out. Like she thinks it's like sulfuric acid or something. And she even
goes, you can get like third-degree burns
yeah,
from
she
bleach.
Can.
Right, well, she hops in the shower, and she's screaming in agony. And then she's like, at the very end of the clip you hear, she goes, she better not have gotten bleach on my new jeans. And she unfolds the jeans, and you'll just see what happens. This is awesome.
You think that you're a bear girl throwing juice and soap and water at me? A real bear girl throws bleach.
That girl threw bleach on my
what
hair.
She threw bleach on?
Who throws bleach on someone?
She threw bleach!
She is a bad
bleach.
Girl.
She threw bleach on me. She threw bleach on me.
Okay. Oh, my God. Shut up.
It is so yeah. funny. Kristen is freaking out. I mean, it is like the Wizard of Oz. She is terrified huh? of bleach.
Straight up bleach. Straight up bleach on my arm right now. Straight up bleach. Straight up bleach.
Straight up bleach. It's not just regular bleach.
Oh.
I wonder if it was that extra oh, bleach
God.
That's thicker than the other.
Is it the gel?
Leah and Kristen threw everything in the house on Christina. And Christina threw one thing, which was bleach, and they scurried like roaches. I definitely think Christina topped them.
Chemical warfare? Are you joking me?
That bitch up! I swear to God!
What am I, $203 I just bought?
And that bitch, I swear to...
Oh! Are you me?
Bleach thing. Oh dear!
Did she say $200 jeans?
I thought she said $300. But
who pays that much for a pair of jeans?
The most
my sister.
The most confusing thing about that whole clip was this.
It is like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does she mean? Like I'm melting, I'm melting, or something like that?
Oh, that could be.
I don't know if she even.
You have a very good insight into vapid women, Jason. It's excellent.
She threw bleach on me. She threw bleach on me straight up. What is that about?
She's a huge fan of Paula Abdul.
Oh!
Okay.
Excitable young lady.
If you guys thought that was good, what about Lawman? Steven Seagal is back.
Oh, hot damn.
I didn't even know that till today.
Oh, you didn't know that? I was
I was watching
Steven knew.
Well, maybe you should share with us.
Yeah. I was watching
Jason. Wait, Jason the know-all of TV? Well, we tell him something?
Well, first of all, I knew it was coming back eventually because I heard the charges were dropped on his sex slave thing and he got his job back.
Oh, that's good.
But and I was even wondering, like, I wonder when that's coming back. So I'm watching Top Chef Just Desserts and it goes, Steven Seagal Lawman, a new season. I go, oh, wait, I'm going to see when the premiere is. Tonight. And I was like, well, this was last night, and luckily they showed it again. So I got to see it. And, you know, it's still really boring and, you know, get really sleepy during it. But there's this moment here where Steven Seagal goes to his sensei, and he fights with, not bamboo, those wooden samurai swords, and they're training and stuff. And Steven Seagal...
He's training to be a samurai, or he is a samurai?
Well, he talks about, Bill, how he uses sword play in everyday life.
Yeah,
I bet.
Shit,
an asshole.
Let's check this out.
I know I do.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, but Steven, they don't mean your penis.
Oh, dear.
Again, when you're a police officer... Anytime there's an encounter and an engagement, the strategy that I apply always really comes from the ancient philosophy of swordsmanship. Menguchi?
He sounds high.
Sounds like an asshole.
Straight into the throat. Very dangerous cut.
He's telling
this
us all
one,
the cuts
no
he's delivering to the guy.
Sword is very relevant today in the sense that when you got to kick in a door and make sure you don't get shot or your team members don't get shot, you have to gain the best position.
Oh, okay.
This would really normally decapitate him. And I'm stopping. Great samurai killed when they have to. And it gave life when they could. My technique is not how to just kill somebody, but it's how to neutralize them without killing them.
Well, that's no fun.
Cut his thumb off. Once that thumb is off, they're done.
Yeah, that would hurt.
I'd say ow. He can't hitchhike. He can't hitchhike.
I cut his Achilles tendon. When you're a cop,
what happened to the music?
All of those techniques and all those philosophies.
It went ghetto.
Thank you, Sensei. Training with wooden swords is great, but nothing compares to a real samurai sword.
Samurai.
What was that again?
A real samurai sword. Where did that come from?
This isn't feudal Japan, you moron.
Why can't you just talk normal?
Got to pronounce it correctly.
I love that. The real samurai.
He is such
great
a massive
samurai.
Samurai.
When have to.
Bill, why have you turned on Seagal? What happened? I thought we all loved this guy.
He just is. He's so condescending.
He takes himself way too seriously.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that he did have a sex slave, but he just bought his way out?
I'm sure.
Oh, dear.
The only way some woman would be with him. It's like Job of the Hutt. He just keeps him on chains. If you don't have sex with him, he feeds him to the Rancor.
Well, there's this great moment. I think you'll change your mind about this in a second, Bill, where the men encounter a drunk man, and Steven Seagal just wants
to
help.
He whips out his katana.
Cuts his thumbs off so he can't hold a bottle.
You'll never drink again without that thumb, buddy.
I just sliced your Achilles tendon.
Why? I'm drunk. What the hell?
You'll never walk a straight line again.
Well, he decides he's going to help this guy out. Just like a samurai would. A samurai. How does he say that? I can't even do it. Well, samurai.
Samurai.
You try it, Laura. How do you say that?
I think you have to have a cotton ball in your mouth to pronounce it right.
Let's see.
But nothing compares to a real samurai sword.
They just put extra syllables in samurai. There. Or
samurai.
There's an L in there.
That was good.
He almost rolls his R's when
samurai.
He says
samurai.
All right, let's check this out. He encounters this poor drunk man. Let's check it out.
Did y'all call somebody?
Oh, yes. He's drunk. He's looking for a ride home. We don't get rides.
All right. You don't have anybody you can call to come pick you up, man?
No, sir.
You have any money on you for a taxi?
No, sir.
Can't just leave it, Mia.
I can give money for a taxi if you'd use it. Here's 20.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you.
Why don't you grab a taxi, brother man?
Today my birthday, bro.
Today.
Today, yes, yes, sir.
So according to the Chinese astrology, you fall under the animal of the dragon, which is a magical, mystical animal. Oh. So use your magic to get sober and do good and prosper, okay?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes this job is about having patience and compassion and taking a minute to listen to what's wrong with people and see what you can do to help them.
Is he drunk at the Japanese gardens?
I mean, I graduated from LSU. I graduated in mechanical engineering and I went to Stanford, California.
Man has a master's in mechanical engineering. How old are you today?
58.
58? Man, you almost as old as him, you know that?
Almost as old as him.
That man missed a cigar right there. That's Steven, the man that gave you the money.
You gotta be kidding me. You're Steven?
Yes, I
am. Steven Seagal?
Yes, sir.
Man, let me get it. I love you, Steven.
Yeah. I love you, man. Wow.
I used to see you. I used to see you.
Perked up there.
Kicking music there.
It goes from Chinese to blues all of a sudden.
Don't you have to know that you're somebody's
I love you, Steve.
Dragon.
He reads a lot of placemats.
Oh, you a big old man.
Yes.
You write this.
You write this. It's going to be too long for a cab ride to come.
Oh, okay.
This office will give you a ride.
Yeah, oh, they give him a ride home. It's so nice.
Get straight, man.
Did he get 20 bags?
That's because he said he loved him. Right. He had to give him a ride home.
Well, I think we made his night. That's for sure. Save the man.
Did he take the 20 back?
We keep the 20. Find yourself a new home to live in.
20.
Keep it as a down payment.
I love you, Steven.
Thank you.
That was awesome. I love when the guy perks up after he realizes who he is.
I'm not nearly as drunk as I thought I am.
It's like, hey, look, what a nice drunk man, right, Mr. Seagal?
Cut his thumb off.
What? My God, what's wrong with you?
Great samurai killed when they have to.
He has to die.
Which is all the time.
But I love the way Seagal talks to these people.
Why don't you grab a taxi, brother man?
Brother man?
Brother man.
All right, let's talk about Hell's Kitchen briefly. Did you guys see Hell's Kitchen where they did the prom and everything? Mm-hmm. Now, one guy, what is his name? Russell. They haven't really showed much of him at all. He's just kind of been there. But now, all of a sudden, you know, they do the thing where they fail the, if you don't win the...
The quick fire challenge.
The quick fire competition from Top Chef, you get a punishment. And this punishment where he has to help decorate. And I think it's hilarious how bad he treats the teenagers that are trying to make him do shit. So let's check this out. It's awesome.
Today our punishment is to move tables and fold linens. Bull that a chef doesn't want to do.
Who needs this nonsense?
But look at me. I got a gorgeous smile on me. I'll make it fun.
Here's my prom dress, James.
Do not crease my linens.
Your first task will be to do the banners. There are long ones, there are short ones.
Yeah, pretty simple.
Be sure that there's a twist in the banner.
I got you.
Just one on each side.
I heard you the first time.
You know, what I'm going to need you to do is we're going to have that banner twisted a little bit. Can you twist the banner? How's that?
No.
No.
Looks funny.
Okay, so I must be the one here that doesn't know what's going on.
This should look like that. So we have to redo this.
Exactly. Then homegirl needs to figure it out.
You know, I try to keep my calm for the most part, but I'm here to cook and I'm not here to decorate, so they can piss off.
Damn, hold on. Serious.
Russell, you have to put the colored one down before the film.
Colored what?
The colored. Okay. See, this teamwork is exactly what helps in the kitchen, right? Like, teamwork in the
kitchen. Don't talk about the kitchen, because you guys don't know about the kitchen.
How about you not give us attitude? Yeah.
Are you kidding me? We're doing this for you. How about you back up a little bit? This is not a joke. I'm not here to play.
those little kids. They're pushing me to the limit.
I'm not doing this for my 15 minutes of fame. I'm doing this for a career, so step off.
Wait, watch your language.
Watch my language? I'm a grown-ass man.
Hey, come on.
Yeah, in front of a bunch of kids.
These are clients of Hell's Kitchen. Stop being disrespectful. Get on with the job, get it done, and show a little bit of respect, all right?
Shut up, Jean-Philippe. Oh, wait, you're not him.
Jean-Philippe would have kicked that guy's ass, wouldn't he?
He would have. He would have took him to the side and karate chopped him.
How come no one says, I'm a grown man? You got to say, I'm a grown-ass man. What is
because
that?
Because he's ghetto.
I'm a grown-ass man. Tell me to not.
Come on, girl. Curse.
Why do people always go ghetto on these shows?
Yeah, what? He's a white guy. You know, he looks like he's probably never been.
Because they're white trash.
Yeah. I'm a grown-ass man. It's like that one girl, Sabrina, all of a sudden her neck starts doing that shit. And you're like, what? Come on. All of a sudden you're
I'll smack you on your
Mrs.
head.
Huxtable or something.
Mrs. Huxtable.
Now, you know what? One thing that was really funny that cracked me up is it was probably something I would do. Like, you're preparing for a dinner. You're like, instead of like preparing each steak one at a time, I'm going to make them all at once and just order up, baby, just like McDonald's. Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
She has an entire tray of steaks. Let's check this out. I just love Gordon Ramsay's reaction. He's just like dumbfounded. Like, what the hell?
In the red kitchen, Melissa has moved on to entrees.
What in the...
Unfortunately, her team is not even close to completing the appetizers.
Melissa!
The chef.
What is that? Come here.
Melissa put in a huge pile of fillets in the oven. Apps weren't even done yet. I don't even know what to do in this situation.
We sent three tables of appetizers, and you're sticking all the beef in the oven.
Why the hell would you do that? I wouldn't even do that.
Do you want to go home? Why don't you make my life easier and just f*** off home? You can't be normal. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, my God.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Stupid.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Oh,
he's counting off.
17, 18, 19, 20, 20.
What the hell are you doing, lady? There's 23 on board, chef.
So what? Why are you cooking them now? Why?
I don't know, chef.
It doesn't make sense. They're gone. They're overcooked.
Yes, chef.
I can't do it anymore with you. You need a system. There's no system. I can't keep on telling you every service.
Chef, sometimes I just go stupid.
What is that?
I just go stupid.
What? What is that?
He's blown a fuse.
It's like Barbie's vomit. It's like purple snot.
They did kind of look like baby poop. Nobody wants to eat purple piles of baby poop on a plate.
Damn!
My favorite is that
I love Tank Girl.
I know what, she does.
What is that Russian guy's name again? Can't remember. Bruno?
What? Boris?
Boris. That dude sweats so much. He's always covered in sweat. It's ridiculous. I can't believe he didn't
get... And it's like running down.
Yeah, it's so gross. There was that one lady there, the guest judge, and he was like, wipe yourself down. He throws him a towel.
And he was making a salad. It wasn't even a hot dish.
I know. It was a salad. What is he sweating about? I sweat big time, but I don't understand that. But I know kitchens are hot and stuff, so that's why I could never be a chef, because I'd be sweating my ass off. Because I sweat my ass off running to the bathroom or something. You know.
Nice.
I don't know why I shared that.
Hey, that means you have a high metabolism. That's good.
Yeah, I just, you know.
You have a good air conditioning system.
Sometimes I just, you know.
Oh, my God!
At least you're not sweating green like they are in that movie.
Oh, I know. That's kind of scary.
You gotta be kidding me. You're Steven?
Yes.
Yes. That is Steven. I just
his biggest fan.
I know I was late, but geez. Come on. Pick it up.
Hey, Steven.
He's drunk.
Steven!
I'm not drunk.
He always stops at the airport bar.
Do you ever do that? Get a little sky cap? What is
the sky cap?
Sky cap is no. I love you, Steven.
He gets a sky bomb
cap. Well, tooth.
Yes, nightcap. It's a play on words, Steven. Come on. You know what, Steven?
Cut his thumb off.
I will.
All right, on The Apprentice, that douchebag Dave, he has a tooth problem.
An emergency tooth problem.
Yeah, let's check this out.
I have an issue with Dave, and I'll bring it up to him if he comes back.
So do I.
What he did was disrespectful to the team.
And I agree.
He can hold that against you or not. That was a team issue.
David,
he's a smart dresser, but he's an asshole.
In front of our client, and I called him out on it. That was really one of the main reasons why we lost. I have absolutely zero respect for that guy.
Well, thank you.
Your captain offends
me. Well, I like you.
Throw me over in the bus for mumbling something?
Well, let me tell you, I want to hear. If you don't want to listen to me, then you can't.
That was BS.
Stewart rubbed me the wrong way in the boardroom.
Oh, dear.
I was very unhappy with the things he said about me, and I don't take disrespect very well.
Stewart, stop rubbing me.
This is what I think. We get a public place, and two guys that you choose start out a popcorn fight, and then it escalates into two.
And people start running out from everywhere throwing popcorn.
And eight. Guerrilla marketing. Start hitting each other with bags of popcorn, and then you have two guys fighting out.
Boom. They actually thought it involved gorillas. They were called the zoo.
Seeing people getting hit over the face with a bag of popcorn.
I like it culminating a big fight. I like everything we've talked about. I like having the small deal escalating into a final scene, big fight. Now, let's go.
Let's flesh out. Lose a tooth on this bagel.
We all loudly together on cue, share some. And we all start throwing popcorn at each other.
The entire center of my tooth just came out.
I was eating, and a bagel piece took half of my tooth out. So I have half a tooth in my face right now, and a hole all the way down to the root.
My tooth just came out. Is that okay if I go and do it right away?
I got you back. Get it taken care of.
No, I just
do better. Hey, guys, David has a tooth emergency.
The rest of my tooth
just fell out. He's going to get it handled. Take care.
A tooth emergency.
A tooth emergency.
If I had broken my tooth off, I would have still stuck around. He could have gone to the dentist the next day. If you're only missing half a tooth.
This guy is high.
So be it. Respect the team and get the job done.
That shit hurts.
David is just a goner. But I will be overjoyed that he's not there.
There was one time where I had a root canal done, and they give you a temporary crown. And it popped off while I was eating.
Ooh.
And I snapped it back on and didn't worry about it. But I know some shit probably got in there. And it sounded like at the end he did have a temporary crown
yeah.
that popped off or it broke or something. I mean, I can understand where he's like, I got to go to the dentist or whatever. So,
and if you leave it for too long, it can go abscess.
Yeah.
And that's even worse.
Damn, that looks like it hurts.
It totally does.
So, I had an abscess molar for like 2 days, like a couple months ago, and it made me bedridden. I didn't want to move.
Oh, I bet. God, it just hurts. Tooth pain like that hurts.
Yeah, I think I went through about 6 or 7 tubes of that. Tooth gel.
The Orajel stuff?
Orajel, yeah, the extra strength.
Yeah, and it doesn't even help.
No, it doesn't, except it gives you a stomach ache.
It's just there to tease you, basically. So basically,
I would just squeeze an entire tube at the back of my jaw.
You've got to just be careful while eating if you have a temporary thing. And he was just munching down that bagel, wasn't he?
I was happy when he left.
Yeah.
It's like, sweet, he's not going to be in this one.
My sandwich!
That was a bagel.
I love New York bagels. Last time I was in New York, I bought like 2 baker's dozens of these H&H bagels. Oh, they're like carb heaven.
I like carbs.
That's my main problem.
Now, what did you think about this guerrilla marketing? Whenever they have something like this, they've had viral marketing. Their projects are so dorky.
Lame.
Yeah. The popcorn fight, I could see okay, but maybe if you showed them eating too, I don't know. But
all of them are so completely out of what is normal nowadays. When you want to put together like a viral marketing thing like this guy that they went to that did all these different stunts, like where he had people stand still and in Grand Central Station,
yeah,
and all
isn't
that
basically a flash mob is what they
call
it?
Yeah, it's a flash mob, exactly. The whole idea of a flash mob is social media. You put it out there on Twitter, you put it out there on Facebook, LinkedIn, all those different places.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look what these people did, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and that's – but they're like, oh, okay, so we're supposed to do this. Let's hire actors.
Yeah, let's – hey, look, a popcorn fight. Hey, I'm going to forward this to you, Steven. Check this out. You're probably like, I don't want to watch this shit. Leave me alone. No,
they're all. You know what the worst thing about all these people are, and it's exactly what I've encountered in my father and I's consulting business. People have book smarts. They don't have experience. Mm-hmm. They think because they have this degree that they know what people want.
Right.
And that's exactly what people don't want. You gotta step outside the box and actually do something. And that's what they wanted, and that's what none of them got. It was horrible.
Well, that one girl was like, this is not a good idea. I think that the one girl.
Tiana.
She was like the, what would you call her? Just a spoil sport.
Yeah, well, and if she would have had an idea, she would still be there.
Yeah, I think it kind of sucks when Trump fires somebody just because everyone was like, oh, yeah, we'll just pick on her and get rid of her or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But she did try. She did kind of give up on the group, though, because they showed her and she was just sitting off in a corner.
That guy Dave did the same thing the week before where he just quit or he got kicked off the task.
Because he wasn't getting his way.
Yeah, and Massa, good old Massa.
Your name is Toby.
There's a part here where they're in the boardroom, and she kind of mentions, I'm tough. And Trump goes, don't ever say you're tough. Let's check this out. I just think it's funny whenever he does stuff like this.
That was uncanny.
You're a very strong person, and you've had very, very strong opinions about all of project managers. You're a project manager, and you lost.
Mm-hmm. I'm tremendously disappointed in myself. I think I did a really good job at
rallying the
truth.
Do you think you're weaker than you thought when you walked into
absolutely the not. I don't think that.
So you don't think this was a failure on your part?
No, I lost. It was a failure. I was the project manager. I can take responsibility.
And Lisa, what I did find interesting was the fact that you said Tiana was the weakest.
Well,
why
and the
is
reason
that?
Why I'm saying that
so you obviously
is because,
agree with
no, because at the end of the day, we finished shooting and we came back and that's what we have. You know, you have what you have in your hand. And we're trying to massage this
thing. You know
what
amazes me about Lisa? You attack Lisa all the time, Masa, and yet she's defending you.
Well, I'm not really strictly defending
her. Are you just afraid to go against Masa one-on-one?
No, I'm not afraid
to
go against
Masa. If you defend her, would she go easier on you?
I'm afraid to go against her because
everyone's
a pit bull.
Why would they be afraid? She's not going to beat him up.
I'm tough.
Aren't you a pit bull?
Don't say you're tough.
I'm not tough.
Don't say you're tough. You know what the worst thing is?
I'm not tough.
Quiet. You know what the worst thing is?
Uh-oh.
People that say they're tough. Because usually people that say they're tough are the least tough. Okay? So don't say you're tough.
Okay, I'll remember that. Don't ever say you're tough. I'm tough.
Nobody, you're not tough.
Who does say that?
You're not tough, you're fired.
Yeah, usually instead of saying that, you say, I grew up with three brothers, Mr. Trump, or something like that. I've heard him say stuff like that.
Oh, well, that's tough. He'll like change on a dime with that stupid shit.
All right, Steven, Bill, you're just like ornery.
I'm so angry tonight. You're pent up. Get that cow away from me.
Wow. You know what this reminds me of?
It is like the Wizard of Oz.
Exactly. Right, Steven?
It is.
Steven?
It's my life.
What are you doing over there, Steven?
I'm about to cut somebody's thumb off.
Oh, my God. You know what, Steven?
So according to the Chinese astrology, you fall under the animal of the dragon.
Yeah.
It's mythical.
Which is a magical, mystical animal.
magical, mystical.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Seagal. What do you guys say? We take a break. We'll be right back.
Oh! Are you kidding me?
Sports Illustrated presents the Sneaker Phone. It's yours free with your paid subscription to SI.
Hello, Chief. This is Park.
Oh, honey. You won't believe where I'm calling from.
The Sports Illustrated Sneaker Phone works just like a regular phone. It has push-button dialing, mute button, automatic redial, an on-off switch, and of course it plugs into a standard jack.
This is a sneaker phone?
It's great.
You like that?
Yeah, how much? It's free.
Free?
Nah.
The Sports Illustrated Sneaker Phone is yours free. Just subscribe to 30 issues of SI for three low monthly installments of only $14.97. That's over 45% off the cover price. So call the toll-free number on the screen now. Of course, the subscription includes the NFL and NBA previews, the year-end double issue, the revealing 1991 swimsuit issue, and the free sneaker phone.
It's free?
Free.
They're free.
They're free.
Fantastic.
What do you mean it's free?
It's free.
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 You're pulling my leg.
I wouldn't pull your leg.
Great.
You heard it here first. Everybody loves the sneaker phone from Sports Illustrated. And so will you.
Call now to subscribe to Sports Illustrated at over 45% off the cover price and get the sneaker phone free.
Hello? That's great!
Tuesday, the A-Team says adios to the USA.
This is the last time.
The bag of tough hombre in Mexico. Plenty of fast-paced
action
on the A-Team. Then it's the season premiere of Riptide.
Great.
Three guys with enough romance and rough stuff to keep them running.
I think it's worth looking into.
Riptide.
Tuesday.
From the Team America collection comes Team America Marauder and his super stunt chopper. Team America with a super stunt dirt bike sold separately. You can pretend they ride into lots of adventures. And whether you make Team America Marauder ride alone or with another Team America bike, they're ready for your backyard hill climbing, trick riding, high jumping, water splashing stunts. Team America Marauder and his super stunt chopper. Team America with a super stunt dirt bike sold separately from Ideal.
Ralph, look. Winchell's is taking 75 cents off any dozen donuts.
No, you don't mean any dozen, Norma.
Any dozen, Ralph.
Oh, look at those chocolate ones.
Oh, and the apple fritters.
Oh, no, not the lemon. 75 cents off the lemon?
Any dozen, Ralph.
They stop at nothing, Norma.
I know, Ralph. Here's the car keys.
75 cents off any dozen donuts. Anytime at any Winchell's.
If you've never eaten breakfast at Carl's Jr., wake up to this. Steak and eggs, hotcakes and bacon, mouth-watering omelets, our sunrise sandwich, all served right to your table. So if you thought Carl's Jr. served only great-tasting hamburgers, have we got news for you. Breakfast is served.
At Carl's Jr., you got taste.
Grimace, a suit of armor for a knight.
He sure sounds happy.
Hello?
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 For McDonald's Happy Meal.
Regular hamburger.
Regular fries.
Regular soft drink.
Now this is a good night.
Good night.
You get one of four different Lego building sets when you buy a McDonald's Happy Meal. Each set builds one of these four toys. And more. You can collect all four. A different set each week at participating McDonald's.
Seduction and rage. When a madman stalks the streets.
Whoever killed the school teacher killed Tracy.
It's a race against fear.
We're dealing with a serial killer.
Silk Stockings on USA tonight.
What walks downstairs, a loner in pairs, and makes a slinkety sound? A spring, a marvelous thing.
Slinky in metal and plastic.
Ghostbusters!
Each sold separately.
Bounce!
Bartend pack ready.
Ghostbusters wounded.
You scared? Never. You first.
PKE meter reads a class 3 ghost.
It's Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Rooster!
Oh no, another one.
We ain't ghosts.
Stop them.
We ain't afraid of them.
Proton Pack and Ghost Popper Gun, each sold separately. The real Ghostbusters.
Crayola toys run on imagination.
Now I enjoy the house with the Crayola drawer to the desk. This is the big tree. Remember where you buried my baseball? That's what I thought. You're too young to remember. This is a bluebird. Don't you think it's the best house you've ever seen? Oh, thank you.
The Crayola Draw and Do Desk. It comes with all the nice things you see here.
Superman, Batman and Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and the Wonder Twins, Sam and Gina, with their space monkey, Bleak. Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Weekdays at 5 p.m. on TV 19.
Everything's perfect, Maurice.
Mm. If you're fussy about your sour cream and onion dip, you'll really love our latest flavor. Sour cream and onion flavored Doritos brand tortilla chips. So for a snack, with the great taste of sour cream and onion already on the chip, try sour cream and onion Doritos. They taste as good as they crunch.
Here are a few words about Levi's jeans and corn!
Levi's!
I don't know if I want my kids seeing people getting hit over the face with a bag of popcorn.
Oh, yeah, that was the guy who everything, he was second guessing everything, and he was like, I don't think this popcorn fight idea is very good. It's very violent. And it's just like,
it's only violent if it's cheddar cheese popcorn.
My favorite thing is when the guy made fun of him. That was like one of those times where I didn't even listen to what Steven said. I just kept going. But Steven, when the guy, he goes, I'll be the project manager. And the guy was like, no, I will. You know, he's just like, okay, nice wimpy volunteer there.
Raunchy, yeah, very raunchy.
I love that it was the Indiana Popcorn Company.
Yeah, I've never heard of
this
them.
This Indian guy came out. I was like, oh, Indiana?
I didn't even put that together.
Have you guys ever heard of that company?
No.
I thought they were going to do the Popcorn Factory, which is that catalog popcorn company. I always get catalogs for them for some reason, but I have no idea who the Indiana Popcorn Company is.
I love you, Steven.
I love you, too. Man.
No, yeah, how do you react to love from a hobo?
I love you, Steve.
Oh, nice little pat on the back.
I'm like, dude, you got lice?
You got lice.
I think he's got bed bugs.
Now, how much? Now, give me your wallet. All right, Smallville. It's the final season of Smallville. And Oliver, who's our favorite character on the show, Green Arrow, he's wondering where the hell Chloe is. So he goes back to where he was tortured last week. Do you guys remember that? Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, where could she be or whatever? And this incredible scene ensues. Let's check this shit out, man. This is awesome. You can already tell by the music.
You missed me.
Oh.
Yeah, I got to say, we had something special. You didn't crack on the first beating. You made me work for it.
Oh, dear.
I'm glad it was good for you, too.
Make it easy there, Commando.
I mean, innuendo.
I'm just a guy over here with a bow and arrow.
Totally. You're wasting your talent, Wayne. You can make a real difference out there.
Tide is turning. People are getting nervous about vigilantes roaming the streets.
I know why.
Taking the decisions and the glory out of the hands of the suits in power.
I'm not running for office. I'm just putting bad guys in jail.
Well, it's going to get tougher the longer you and your little league of heroes stay half in, half out. That's the beauty of my group. Everybody thinks we're dead. We could use you.
And you
are... But this is your one and only offer. You raise a good point.
What the hell's going on?
Just shot the bullet with the arrow.
On the other hand, you did just shoot me.
Where's Chloe Sullivan? Where is she?
I'm sorry.
I can't hear you. Where is Chloe Sullivan?
Nice. That's the way you interrogate someone.
It wasn't a kidnapping. It was a trade.
You would have been proud of her. She didn't crack.
put you down a cyanide pill just to save your life. She's dead.
Oh my God!
Wow, Oliver really took that bad, didn't he? Oh my God! He turns towards the camera and cut to commercial. Made awesome.
They zoom in on his
Why
mouth.
Why did they kill her?
Well, he puts together like clues later on. I found this bottle of cyanide antidote.
Oh.
Cyanide antidote.
And he's like, Clark, she's still alive. She faked her own death. And he's like, interesting. I think Clark, he's got other things going on, so he's not that interested. You know,
no, he's Chloe's very slow.
She's living on a satellite somewhere, yeah. Running a computer station.
But how do you fake your own death? Don't you wake up underground, like they buried you, or you're in a body bag? And how do you get out? So it doesn't make any sense.
I'm confused.
He's drunk.
And drunk.
I'm trying to remember what the rest of the episode was about. Clark, did he? Oh, yeah, I remember. Deadshot, the cowboy guy.
Is that who that was?
Yeah, he was supposed to be Deadshot. He was a mixture of Deadshot and the Gunslinger, I guess.
Yeah, I'd never known Deadshot to be a cowboy.
Yeah, wasn't he like a cyborg man or something?
Yeah.
And they turned him into a cowboy.
Because he's a Deadshot.
I thought they were trying to do like a Jonah Hex thing. Like, I didn't get it. I was totally... Yeah, I didn't get it.
Well, he has these really decorated bullets, and he puts the name of his victim on.
Yeah, that was right out of Wanted.
Yeah, and what was with the little skull and crossbones would appear? Like, they're the Suicide Squad, and they're doing stuff. I don't know.
So I guess that's their new symbol.
Yeah.
And I guess they tagged them?
Yeah, they tagged them. They even tagged Hawkman. In Africa. Yeah, they're in Africa, Steven.
We're in Africa.
They tagged him like a wild animal.
There was a point in the episode where the
yellow tag in his ear.
Or the CGI, whatever, was so bad of the Jeep driving through the desert.
It was like sliding.
It literally looked like someone was like... dragging a Hot Wheels Jeep across the screen with their hand.
It reminded me of like Color Forms. Remember those when you were a kid?
Yes.
Like the little drawing sliding on the piece.
So bad.
Let's just put this picture of a Jeep on a glass overlay of a picture of a desert and slide it across. Good. That'll work. I'm really interested in how Ollie's going to handle this, though.
I'm just a guy over here with a bow and arrow.
I couldn't put it much plainer than that, right? right, Steven?
You know, I was really hoping they would do something with this season, it being the final season. You know, be creative, maybe give us something a little different, not just the same old.
They're saving
old.
It for that episode.
Did you see the reveal at the end? Clark's new outfit.
It's no longer black. It's now the colors.
He's got a jacket, like a blue jacket with red, with the Superman logo on the front. Like it's like a leather jacket where you could turn the, pop the collar and look kind of cool. Pretty awesome.
Except it's
red. You gotta be kidding me. You're Steven?
Yes, I'm Steven. Jeez.
What is he talking about?
Steven is his name.
Oh, yeah. Drunk man, you make me laugh.
Oh, you got some good hands.
What did he
Was
say?
He hitting
did he
on
say
him?
Good hands?
You got some good hands.
Was he massaging him?
I love you, Steven.
And I know hands.
No, I really liked this episode of Fringe, Bill. There were even a couple
it was
of times.
Good.
There were times where I would go, oh shit, wait, that's real Olivia. I would have to tell myself that again during the episode, because it was just like we're watching an episode of Fringe, but it's in the alternative world, and you immediately get sucked in where it's just the show and you're watching it. Then I'm like, well, no, wait, that's our Olivia. She doesn't belong here. And I even love that, there's this weird stuff going on with these accidents that happen to people. And there's this moment where she kind of turns and looks, and Peter's standing there, and she kind of like you know, it's kind of like, whoa, that's, and it's really like her subconscious telling her, you know, like, this is where you're really from. All this stuff is a lie going on. And I thought the story was really interesting that they took basically a man who had very low IQ. Was he disabled or something? I don't know. He's just
developmentally disabled. Yeah.
And they're doing these, they basically give him injections that make him smarter and basically like the Lawnmower Man, right?
Oh, and my God, you're right.
They gave him 5 injections and he became such a genius. And after the trial's over, they make him go back to the way they were. So he didn't want to do that. So he was doing these elaborate deaths for the people that would make him go off the drug by calculating it. And it was really cool because you're wondering, like, how does he do this? How does he calculate these things? But then when Olivia, and it's cool to see Charlie again, too. You know, he's like her partner now. Before, he's like the bad guy chasing or whatever. But now you see him as the partner again, which I think is cool. And he still has to give himself injections because of the worms or whatever, which is cool. But what is neat is they show the guy how he's calculating how to kill Olivia. And I thought that was badass the way they did that. Like all the little boxes of what she's going to do and everything. Like all these things that he's kind of... And the music or the sound effects in those scenes. I guess it's music, right?
Yeah.
It was really awesome the way he would stand there and stare and kind of do this... This was the sound it was. It was really cool. And it's like building and building as he's seeing all the things that's going to happen. Oh, shit. What's going to happen? It's going to crash. What's going to crash?
The bar list.
Yeah, the bar.
His arm just fell off.
I thought the dude's head was going to blow up at the end of that, like scanners or something, didn't you?
Oh, my God.
But, Bill, what was so cool is at that moment where he keeps planning her death, he sees it over and over again, and you know the way she's going to die. And she's even like, they think that, wait a second, if the guy knows what we're going to do, then he could lead us into a trap. What should we do? And they go to Astrid, and she's trying to calculate. She's like, it's impossible to calculate this. Just follow him or don't follow him. I don't know what to tell you. So they do, and she sees a guy, and she's chasing him, and the same thing is happening the way that you've seen it. And what's going to happen is she's going to run out around the corner, and cinder blocks are going to crash on her, and she's going to die. Because in the world they live in, they have, I guess, bad pockets of air or something, Bill? Is that what it seemed like?
Yeah, there was an amber alert, that they call it.
Yeah, and everyone carries these little oxygen things in their pocket, and you have to take a hit off of it if you're in a bad area, right? So he keeps calculating that she'll see that sign, do it, and go around the corner, then bam, get killed. But this is Olivia from our world. She doesn't know that you have to do that, so she just keeps running, and the bricks fall down beside her. And he's like, that wasn't supposed to happen. You're supposed to be dead. And... what was cool is as I was watching that scene, I was like, oh, it was because she didn't take a hit off that inhaler. You know, I figured it out. But there's a scene at the end where she's there with her boyfriend and he's going away because there's a smallpox outbreak in North Texas. And I was like, oh, shit, that's where I live. Smallpox? That guy better get down here. Oh, wait, alternate world. So in the alternate world, we all have smallpox, guys.
Great.
So, yeah, that sucks.
I'm never coming down there.
So, but Peter shows up to her in a vision or whatever, and this is what happens.
Can't forget this.
No, that's not what happens.
I won't.
You guys don't forget this.
I'm trying not to forget that.
Just pay attention to this. Memorize it.
You know why you didn't die today, right?
No.
Because you didn't know the protocol. If you'd stopped for oxygen... you'd be dead right now. But you did something that he couldn't factor in. You kept running. You know why you did that. It's the same reason you thought you saw Walter in the hospital. It's the same reason you think you're seeing me now. You're not from this world, Olivia. You're not her.
You're not real.
Real is just a matter of perception. I am here. And I'm the part of you that you have to hold on to. You can't forget who you are, Olivia. You can't forget where you're from. You can't forget this.
You know that scene where she sees Walter from her world in the hospital? Didn't that just get to you? Because we've now been seeing the Walter of that world. He's all put together and he's all clean cut and everything. So then when she sees that kind of disheveled Walter, like, your heart breaks a little. Like, there's Walter, the Walter we know and love. And that scene got to me where she sees him for a moment. And then it's like, that's right, that's Olivia from our world. Whatever. So it's just a really cool episode. I think it's neat how it was in their world. And I was trying to look for little Easter eggs in the background, like, you know, before we had, like...
Have you looked for the Observer at all this year?
I haven't seen him at all. And I was going to look to see if he has appeared, but I'm going to say he hasn't, but I don't know.
Is the Observer supposed to be in both universes?
I have no idea. Maybe he has the power to go there or something.
Yeah, I think they span, like, they're the watcher of all universes.
And we get to learn the plan here, like, why he's doing this to Olivia, and it's that she has the ability to go to both worlds without any repercussions. And he even said that we can go to the other world, but there's, you have to pay a price for doing it. Basically, your body becomes unstable, like Spock did. Remember, he blew up. Sorry for that. It's just Leonard Nimoy's character.
William Bell.
But, like, remember they send the other guys and they were all like, you know, and unstable and gross. And then they use the shapeshifter things. But when this episode was over, I was just like, God, I love this show and how inventive it is and creative. And just the whole thing with the guy, the calculation scenes where he's sitting there, he's tapping on his fingers and stuff. And it shows the way that they edited those scenes, Bill, with what was going to happen. And you're like, oh, shit, here it comes. This is where it's going. The way they built up with that was just genius.
I still think he looks like the Clint Howard version of Kevin Dillon.
Who's
a very bizarre looking version of a Dillon brother. Was he a Dillon?
Who, the guy? The weird dude? The calculator guy? Oh, yeah. You know another thing, Bill, is at the end when she said... she was telling the guy's sister, he had a little sister who took care of him.
Yeah.
She'd show him a horse to snap him out of it. And he was like, don't do that. She's like, it's the only thing that can turn your brain off for a second. Olivia says he only sees things in patterns now. And I was like, whoa, I think there's just, maybe they've been giving people these drugs to make them smart, to figure out ways to get over there. Like the calculations to stage the pattern events.
That's entirely possible.
Remember how, like, certain things would happen, like those people become encased in amber on the bus and stuff? Maybe that's the way they plan things. I don't know. It's really cool how the show makes you think about that kind of stuff. It's really...
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a fun show. I really enjoyed it. And I saved this for last, guys, because remember on Top Chef, we have Seth. Right. He's got problems, right?
Well, the red pots were for his mommy.
Yeah. He was kind of acting like the guy in Fringe, wasn't he? Like calculating how I make this dessert.
Yeah, batshit nuts.
You know, he probably hears that that Fringe sound in his head. That's why he goes nuts. Like they're like the timer's going, and he's making his dessert, Bill, and all he hears is. He's like, yeah, you gotta put the chocolate on. So let's go ahead and check out Seth. Hopefully he's okay.
The stress for me is just incredible. I'm more stressed out than I've ever been in my entire life. I would describe my profession as an artist, definitely. You have to be crazy to be a great artist. So, I mean, I'm a little bit crazy, I guess.
Can I have a thing on cream cheese and stuff, please?
there's two sets.
Let's start saying he's shaving in the kitchen
the
sink.
That you want to talk to that can be very warm and very embracing. And then there's freakout Seth. I feel like Seth can't deal with the pressure. When he encounters difficulty, that's when he flips out. Guess what? This competition isn't easy. There's a lot of talented chefs, buddy. Things aren't looking good for him. My biggest weakness is psychological.
I'm really excited to tell you about today's challenge. It's a really fun one.
All right.
This dish has been pleasing Americans for over a century. With the help of Breyers all-natural ice cream and its variety of flavors, you're going to be making the ultimate ice cream sundae.
He's like, yes! Yeah!
Off the top of my head,
they're
I
like,
know
what the hell?
I can do he can this make awesome that ice cream that I can put together in 15 minutes, and I'm going to win because of that. It's mine.
And I'm not talking about just old bananas and nuts. We want to be amused. We want to be overindulged. We want to see sundaes like we've never seen them before.
You make our own ice cream?
You do not make your own ice cream.
Weak sauce. Weak sauce.
Oh, he's saying this in front
I really
of
don't
the
know
gesture.
What Seth's weak problem sauce. Is. I absolutely love Breyers. Like, I'm excited.
I noticed Seth seems out of it and is just shaking and pacing, and it's actually really scary.
It's like, I think he's gonna hurt us.
Weak sauce.
He's just like,
I don't know. It looked like you really couldn't help his behavior.
Starts going,
waiting for the crew to set up for the next part of the quick
water
challenge.
Too hot.
We go back to the
rain,
stew room, and Seth starts causing problems again.
Burn the baby,
does
burn the baby.
Have any questions regarding this challenge?
Does anyone else remember hearing the items you don't use in this challenge will become part of the pantry? Do you remember hearing that?
Yes, and then they changed it.
And then they told us they won't.
But I threw away something I brought from home because of that, and that's still not fair. Something is
my mommy's red hot.
She decided it. Everybody was against him. The competition was against him. It was definitely a moment where he flipped.
Well, it's not going to affect this challenge.
How do you know?
Oh, Lord Jesus Almighty.
I don't care. I'm defending myself.
Seth thinks they took some friggin' paper cups that he brought from home and feels as though now
paper
he can't
cups.
Make anything because he doesn't have paper cups.
I just want the amount of cups that I brought with me back. I couldn't find my paper cups that I needed for the ice cream sundae challenge, so I feel like it's not a fair starting point, you know?
Then you threw them out on your own accord, and they're not going to replace.
So basically, he gets up and leaves, and they're like, what is his damage? And they're all kind of like talking shit about him, like, who's had enough of this shit? And they're like, I have. This is ridiculous. We all have problems. He needs it. And all of a sudden, they hear a that's supposed to be a siren. And he's collapsed
I thought
outside.
Somebody thought it was Halloween.
He's collapsed.
But yeah, he's collapsed outside. He's like,
he's having like an anxiety attack.
And I love even the EMT guy, Bill. He's like, buddy, come on, calm down. You know, he's even like, dude, you're wasting our time right here. You know, he was just like, not just like, dude, just calm the F down.
They probably checked all of his vitals. They're like, this guy's an asshole.
What he does, he worked himself up where he just like accused him of stealing paper cups or something. And then he was like, well, they told me that I had a panic attack or anxiety attack and I'm not cleared to come back to the show. Do you think they just made that up? You're not cleared.
Can't deal with that shit.
Yeah. He was disrupting everything. She was just like, we're going to make ice cream sundaes. Everyone's like, yeah. And he's like, do we make our own? And she's like, no. And he's like, weak sauce.
Yeah, to make ice cream well, you have to let it – you make the mixture and then you let it sit overnight. So I don't know what he thinks he's going to make.
Make my own ice cream.
I'm going to use a time machine.
The guy needs to be medicated.
Weak sauce.
Weak sauce.
He probably is, just not properly.
Weak sauce.
And I love that guy was like, he's kind of scaring me. I'm going to kill all of you. That's how I'm going to win this Top Chef.
With his paper cups.
If there's only me left, they can only
make I'll have human head ice cream sundaes.
I'm going to make a quarto sundae.
You know what the best part, though, is when that one guy comes in with the slick back hair, one of the judges, he goes, I want to tell you guys something. Seth will no longer be on the show. You could tell they were like, yay. He's like, I know this is very serious, but do you guys feel okay going on with the con? They're like, yes, we don't give a shit about that guy. Okay, well, let's go make some ice cream.
He,
like,
he was bothering us anyway.
They don't care at all. Is that a, they have a horse in there?
Horse milk.
Horse milk.
Oh, nice.
Horse milk sundae.
How did he eat that? So, now there's
just Bob.
One weird thing. We haven't even talked about that girl, Heather, who has the big cut on her head. What the hell is that?
She was in a knife fight.
She has this big old Band-Aid on her face half
she
the time.
She got to a samurai fight with Steven Seagal.
He didn't use the wooden sword that day.
He was extra violent.
Hospitality. And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
That's right. So she comes back and it's like, oh, cool. You were eliminated and now you get to come back. I don't think that's ever happened on any Top Chef before. So it's really cool. But instead of being all happy about it, she's all like melancholy. Like, you don't know what it's like to get kicked off. I don't want it to happen again. So she's all like worried the whole time. And there's this, the other Heather, Asian Heather, she can't stand it.
Asian Heather.
And she's like kind of bitching about, because she's all sitting there with her dark glasses on. She's just like, she's like, what is your problem? Snap out of it. She's like, don't be mean to me. So Asian Heather, they do this, this, what is it? It's not Cirque du Soleil. It's like,
it's a knockoff.
It's like people doing wacky shit with fire and stuff. I can't remember what they were called. It was some goofy
circle jerk.
Circle jerk.
But they have to make like a centerpiece or whatever. And that girl Heather's like, I'm doing the centerpiece and I'll do my own dessert. And it's got to be flashy or whatever. And they're like, we want flames and all this stuff. So anyway, at the very end, her team wins. There's three people. Heather, this other guy who's a heterosexual, the only one on the show.
And are you sure?
He wins. And she's pissed about him winning. She's not happy that she isn't going to get eliminated. She's on the winning team at least, but she is pissed at the guy. Let's check it out. So basically, Seth's gone, but there's plenty more drama.
Heather, you're letting your teammates down.
You know, Heather C. seems to break down at every turn and every corner. I know she wasn't really happy with her dish, but this is a competition. Everyone's going to go home except for one person. Deal with it.
Heather, how about your teammates? This is a team competition.
I'm very upset that she lashes out at me because I'm having a lot of mixed emotions about being back.
You don't think you're being selfish?
I hope she's eliminated tonight. Maybe she will understand what I'm going through.
That's cool, Brad.
Heather C's got a great opportunity coming back.
Which Heather are you?
So what is the problem? Oh, I'm so fed up with her.
She doesn't sound Asian.
So, Gail, as our guest judge, please announce
Gail's
the winner.
Gail's on the show all the time.
All
what?
Three of you really transported us.
There's two Heathers and two Gails.
You're so confused. Play that music.
Morgan.
A Morgan.
Again.
Morgan won. I bet Heather's happy for him.
Always feels good to win. It's a great feeling for 15 minutes, but game's on tomorrow.
Congratulations to all of you. Great teamwork.
Yay.
You're welcome, Morgan. Pretty much Morgan was a selfish
You're
jerk.
Welcome.
He worked on one dessert, and as a result, he won.
He did one dessert. I did a centerpiece and a dessert. He did two desserts. Never again.
Wow, what a sore loser.
Heather wanted to make the showpiece. She's angry at anyone that should be with herself. What, Heather?
I don't want to talk about it. We won. What difference does it make right
I know.
Now? So just,
I know.
Just in hindsight, I did a centerpiece and a plated dessert. And as a result, my plated dessert was sacrificed. And honestly, I don't want to have anything to do with Morgan. He's about himself. He's not a team player.
And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it!
Oh, dear. So basically, everyone on here is just a big baby.
Yeah, I think all of them. It's so funny to watch every single one of these people. There's something wrong with them.
There is.
Mentally.
They're all damaged people who make
I've never seen
desserts.
So many damage. Is that what happens whenever you want to be in a culinary industry? If you're damaged, you go into pastry?
It seems like that. And I forgot to mention that on Fringe, they were in Hoboken, alternate Hoboken. So I was trying to look for alternate Carlos.
Alternate Carlos.
But, where he can actually speak well.
Obviously. Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy.
And he doesn't have a brother-in-law in jail.
Yeah. Remy's dead in that
circus
one.
The circus act is called Lucent Dossier.
Yeah, I was just like, ugh. Give me a break.
Never.
The hell does that actually even mean? Really scary.
I bet. Well, okay, that's our shows this week.
I'm just a guy over here with a bow and arrow.
I know. Bill, what do you say we do some news?
Let's do some news.
Let's do it, Steven.
Let's do the news.
I'm a grown-ass man.
Say what?
I love you, Steven.
I love you.
You're getting lots of love tonight.
All right, Bill.
Making up for lost time.
Oh, that canned laughter.
All right, Bill, what news do we have this week?
All right, I love this first story because I know... I've known of too many women that just put up with boyfriends instead of... like moving on or getting a better boyfriend. This girl in Lebanon, Missouri, a 35-year-old man is charged in Missouri with possessing marijuana after his girlfriend called 911 and said she was tired of him smoking pot all day instead of working. Dispatchers in southwestern Missouri town of Lebanon got a 911 hang-up call Saturday night from a motel room. Police say officers went to the motel and were told by the woman that her boyfriend did nothing during the day but smoke marijuana. The Lebanon Daily Record reports that the man told police his girlfriend was angry because he didn't have a job yet, then admitted having marijuana in his car, handed over a pipe and a bag containing the illegal drug. He was issued a summons for possession and released. Oh, bummer. He should be sitting in jail. He'll probably just go back to him and be like, I'm sorry, honey.
Can't forget this.
How's he getting the money for the pot?
She's probably giving it to him.
Yeah, probably.
Enabler.
He's drunk.
Police want to talk to the management of Nanimo's Cavallotti Lodge following a drunken melee that erupted at the East Wellington Road Hall on Friday night featuring more than 100 women and a male stripper. Officers responded to a call of an assault at the hall around 10:50 p.m., only to find between 100 and 150 drunk women watching an exotic dancer as part of a fundraiser. My understanding is that a big brawl broke out among a number of drunken women who were watching the male stripper event, a policeman spokesman said. Police arrested five people they believed were involved in the incident but are not recommending charges.
It is like the Wizard of Oz.
You cannot mix groups of drunken women with a male stripper. It's just not smart.
Out of control.
Oh! Are you kidding me?
Good God. The Reno Police Department credits the public with helping them find an armed man. On Tuesday, police said they received a call around 5 p.m. about an armed man in the area, and as officers contacted the apartment a man walked out of, he saw the officers and tried to run around the building. The other officers made contact with the man, and he pulled a rifle from his pants. officers ordered him to drop the gun, and he did. Randall Williams, 29, was then taken into custody without further incident. Police had been told for about a week that Williams was in the area with the gun down his pants, and they were finally able to find him on Tuesday. How hard is it to find a guy with a rifle down his pants?
Maybe they just thought he was well endowed.
Man, you got one hell of a rifle in your pants. Thank you.
Our friend here is not wearing any underpants.
Speaking of large things, a Chinese farmer has smashed the world record for growing the biggest cucumber ever. And with the help of horse dung.
It is like the Wizard of Oz.
It's all about the horse dung.
Wait, they farm in other parts of the world?
They do, especially in China. Achille High.
Huh?
Yeah, that's his name. Achille High.
Achilles tendon.
Yes.
Achilles.
Valley High.
Valley High.
He grew the monster veg.
Wait, how high in the air is he?
He asked Steven. Steven's always high.
He's PCP Steven.
My cousin's Achilles tendon.
The monster veg is 5'7" long.
Wow.
It weighs 154 pounds.
Damn.
That is a big veg.
It's the size of a man.
He's a nice guy. Let's do it.
The record was taken from a British man whose cucumber reached the length of 3'5".
That just doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't.
Achille said he did nothing but water the plant and put the shovel full of horse dung on it.
Ooh-wee, fellas, look at there.
All the other cucumbers from the same packet grew to normal size, but right in the middle of them, this monster cucumber wouldn't stop growing.
Horse dung, not calf.
That's a powerful horse dung. Here's a numbskull. As a consequence, I started it early. A preschool teacher in Gothenburg in western Sweden has been fired after he tweeted about wanting to rape little girls.
Holy shit.
What a numbskull. As a consequence, the 21-year-old man's first workday at the preschool was also his last.
Preschool?
Yeah,
the preschool principal received a tip on Monday morning about the Twitter post.
What? Why are you letting me go? I don't understand.
This just sounds so...
I'm just a guy over here with a bow and arrow.
It sounds like a guy with a really horrible sense of humor. His tweet was, the name of the school, preschool, starts 9:30 a.m., think I will rape 6 to 7 young girls.
Wow.
Oh, my God!
It's just a guy with a really bad, inappropriate sense of humor, it sounds like.
He deserves to be fired for something
stupid. Yeah.
They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me.
I informed the parents. Some chose to pick up their children earlier. Later, I called the police and asked if they could trace the message. When I read it, they thought it was very serious, so they came here, the principal told the newspaper.
Guys, can't you take a joke? Come on. You know what they should
Everybody
do to that
loves
guy?
Rape humor.
Come on, yeah.
Yoda loves rape.
Cut his thumb off.
Yeah,
that would work.
They could do that.
More than his thumb.
Steven, oh my God. What are you referring
both
to?
Both thumbs.
Oh. Yoda thinks that shit's hilarious. You know, what is Yoda anyway?
Which is a magical, mystical animal.
Oh, okay.
Is he more of an animal or more of a creature?
Hmm.
Does he have warm blood or cold blood?
All right,
Grand Rapids police say they found a man wanted for home invasion right in front of their headquarters. Xavier Ross, 19, was wanted on felony burglary charge. Last Monday, officers say a man was out in front of the police headquarters playing chopsticks
repeatedly on a piano
placed there for an art prize. Sergeant was about to arrest the man for creating a disturbance when another reporter or another officer reporting for his night shift recognized the piano player. After some quick checking, he discovered the man at the keys was Xavier Ross. The would-be musician is in Kent County Jail. Interesting.
That's Steven, the man that gave you the money.
He's an idiot. All right, this is a big one for anybody on any of these campuses. FX Terriers, they're going on a nationwide truck tour.
What?
To the University of Houston, St. Louis University, University of Illinois, University of Michigan, really? And University of Chicago. FX's newest and critically acclaimed drama series, Terriers, has embarked on a nationwide university tour with its cast, Donald Logue and Michael Raymond James, where they'll host screenings of the series and conduct Q&A sessions. Terriers, from creators and executive producer Ted Griffin and Sean Ryan, is a drama series starring Donald Logue and Michael Raymond James, centers on ex-cop Hank Dalworth and his partner and best friend Britt Pollock. And they are going to go to these 6, well, actually 5, because they're going to the University of Illinois twice in mid-October.
It's an awesome show.
It is. It's fantastic.
Everyone should be watching. I even tweeted that. Why aren't you watching this show yet? Why aren't you watching it, Steven?
I don't know.
I love you, Steven.
It's my favorite new show on TV. And I hope this drums up some interest. I don't know how much, but
it's one of those shows that it's just hilarious. I mean, it's funny. It's dark. It's clever. And it's got great actors. I love the atmosphere.
One episode so far. I haven't had time.
I love the atmosphere of the show. Definitely check it out, okay?
Yeah!
And one last story. Johnny Depp did this really cool thing this past week. A girl at this school in Greenwich, Southeast London, sent him a letter saying that the girl and her fellow students wanted to mutiny. So he showed up, since they're shooting Pirates of the Caribbean, in full makeup as Captain Jack Sparrow and in character at this school. And he said this 9-year-old Beatrice had written to Captain Jack asking him to lead the mutiny. And Depp shows up. There was a school assembly. He called the girl up. They chit-chatted and goofed off for like 15 minutes. I just thought that was amazing. There's even like a phone video of it online. And those kids will never forget that. That's just so cool that he would show up to do that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That's and I mean, crazy. In full costume, doing the voice and everything.
That's pretty sweet.
It is.
So he went there. He's the character from the movie. He wasn't even Johnny Depp.
No, he was the character from the movie.
That's pretty sweet.
What is that?
That's news this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
What?
Steven, are you ready to do some DVDs?
Some DVDs.
You want a piece of me?
No, I want the whole thing.
All right, Bill. Everybody, Laura, Steven, me. Let's do some DVDs.
Let's do some DVDs.
And Steven
froze.
Steven, what happened?
He froze up.
I didn't have enough air to go.
Did he forget?
You popped a tire or something. Blowout. You okay?
Redo.
I love you, Steven.
All right. Let's do some DVDs again!
Ouch! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
Jesus Christ!
What the hell?
I think you, overcompensated that time.
All right, one more time, Steve. You ready?
Without feeling.
Let me just turn down my headset a little. Okay, there we go.
Let's do some DVDs! We saw... DVDs! HD Blu-ray 7 Definition! DVDs! Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody!
Someone get that man a lozenge.
Wow.
Weak sauce.
Lemon water.
Weak sauce. He's like rocking back and forth. Weak sauce.
She needs to suck it off.
Huh? But I love when he said weak sauce, he started talking to himself.
Can't make me own ice cream. It's like, oh my God. I'm scared. I want to go home.
I would have stopped production and went, are you okay?
They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me.
He's so articulate. And then they're going to eat me. Then they're going to eat me.
That would
have been more natural. And then they're going to eat me, everyone.
Poor kid never got a chance.
It's
he turned into a tree
really
and then
scary.
Got cut down.
He just turned into a tree. That's right. My God, yeah. I haven't seen that movie in so many years.
Yep, they make him eat that green stuff, and he turns into a tree.
By the way,
in a pot, no less.
I can't watch that scene without getting ill to my stomach. Just like it makes my stomach turn.
Which one?
The green shit that they have to eat.
Oh yeah.
Ugh.
It looks like pistachio pudding.
I like pistachio pudding.
I love pistachio pudding.
But it just
I always try to keep a box or two of the instant stuff in my pantry. I get like crazy.
Be
for
careful.
It.
I thought you were about to say your pants.
In my pants, yes, all the time.
Oh! Are you
I love the feel of pudding in my pants.
As long as it's not a rifle, we're okay.
Yeah, I'm not planning on shooting anybody anytime soon.
Yeah, don't put a rifle in your pants, Bill.
You never know when that thing can
My
go
biscuits
off.
Biscuits are burning. Sorry.
All right, Bill, let's see what we have in the DVDs. Are you okay over there, Steven?
Yes, I'm good, thanks.
He's recovering.
I've got a headache.
Just making sure you're okay.
All right, DVDs for Tuesday, October 12th, 2010. Not a whole lot to go around.
I love you, Steve.
Thank you, drunk man.
I've never heard of, but I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing it up because it's got a kick-ass cover art. It's called Bangkok Adrenaline. And it's got two guys doing jump kicks with a lady that's scantily clad
of
walking
course.
Underneath.
Hell yeah.
With an explosion behind them.
Oh, they covered all the bases today.
Yep. And there's a car, too. There's a fast car. So this cover has been properly Michael Bay'd.
Sweet. Well, how does this movie say compared to like a samurai movie?
But nothing compares to a real samurai sword.
Or a samurai sword. Sorry. A samurai. Samurai.
He's drunk.
He is drunk. I think Steven Seagal was more drunk than that guy. Completely delusional.
Why don't you grab a taxi, brother man?
Condescending prick.
He really
brother
is.
Brother man, I ain't your brother. White
you gotta be kidding me. You're Steven.
Is Steven okay?
I'm not kidding. I'm here.
Steven is sitting next to us, rocking back and forth and rubbing his head and his neck a lot.
He so needs red hots.
I'm really
damn airplanes. I hate them.
Steven,
I'm getting sick and tired of them.
What do you think of the show this week, Steven?
Weak sauce.
He's scaring me.
All right. Well, this will cheer Steven up. CSI Miami, the 8th season.
Yes.
There you go.
The shit that will never end.
It really is. And I tried. Well, I didn't try. I saw it was on the other night. And I was just watching it. And the whole CSI computer room with the the avatar screens and shit is so ridiculous.
It's good for a laugh.
It's like,
though.
Just how about have some good writing instead of a computer do all the work for the characters?
Yeah.
I just need David Caruso with his cocked head to the side.
What did you say, Steven?
Cocked head.
Oh.
He loves David Caruso's cock.
Cocked head?
Way easy.
Cocked head.
Cocked head.
Cocked head.
He loves the cocked head.
Cocked head.
There are so many places you can go with cock and head. It doesn't even... Just gonna leave it alone.
Let's move on.
It's kind of sad how David Caruso doesn't even try anymore.
I'm just a guy over here with a bow and arrow.
The delivery and everything is so monotonous.
Just collecting them paychecks. You know, the best thing I've always loved Gary Sinise. Best thing that ever happened to him is that damn show got canceled. Now maybe he'll go back to real acting. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Miss Lieutenant Dan.
Y'all be cool, you hear?
All right, next DVD and Blu-ray. The Darjeeling Limited.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's the Wes Anderson movie with...
That's right.
Owen Wilson, Adrian Brody, and Jason Schwartzman.
Oh.
Fight purple snot.
I've never seen it. I've always planned on seeing
Bad
it.
Bad review.
So yeah. I'm going to rent the Blu-ray. But I love these Criterion, these new Criterion Wes Anderson discs. They always have the really cool artwork on the fronts. And this one's no different. It almost looks like a children's book.
Yeah, they always are so cool. I always love the DVD, the Criterion DVD to Rushmore.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Royal Tannenbaum one is very similar.
Be careful!
Okay.
Next on Blu-ray...
Oh, sorry.
Next on Blu-ray is Deep Blue Sea, the Rennie Harlan film.
Awesome!
With Michael Rapaport and Thomas Jane and Samuel Jackson.
Do you guys remember that Samuel Jackson is in part of that movie?
Yes.
Yes.
I love it.
So we're not
and LL Cool J is fantastic.
Anymore.
His character is so damn annoying in that because he's the chef, but he's an ex-preacher man. And there's
he like doesn't he kill one of the sharks with his oven?
Yeah, with his oven, and he throws the slow-mo Zippo lighter over his shoulder and blows the shark up. And remember, even. At the end, he's in the shark's mouth, but somehow he's okay.
Oh. No, I don't. I've seen it, but I kind of filed it away in the deep, deep recesses of my brain.
Well, they can get a whole lot worse.
My son is actually terrified of that movie.
Why?
And he's 18. And he's scared of that movie.
We need to force him to sit and go, Severin, it's stupid.
The only reason I'm scared of it is it has that scary woman from The Sopranos in it, the Totoro lady.
Here we go.
Which lady?
The lady that played Tony's sister.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, the best part is Stellan Skarsgård strapped to the gurney with a shark on the end of it. Do you remember that? And the shark rams him into the glass, and he's like, and I'm like, what?
It was so ridiculous.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
This is the one where they were like experimenting with Mako shark brains, right?
Yeah, when you absolutely positively
has nothing
got
to, do
to
sharks.
Kill every motherfucker in the room.
Foggy.
Except no substitutes.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to cure Alzheimer's with shark brains. But
okay, yeah,
let's
that's
build
it.
Them super powerful, smart sharks.
All right, next DVD.
Rennie Harlan's a genius, Bill. I just had to get that in real quick.
Cutthroat Island.
Next DVD and Blu-ray is Dollhouse Season 2.
She threw bleach on me! She threw bleach on me!
Who? The Dollhouse did? What?
I thought Dollhouse only lasted 2 seasons.
Yeah, it did.
Normally they say like the final season or something on it, not season 2.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
You know, Dollhouse season 2 I thought was good up until that final weird ass episode that made no freaking sense at all.
Epitaph or
yeah, epithet. It was building up to something really cool, and then all of a sudden it's like cut to 7 years later or something. I was like, "What the hell is?"
Well, that was Joss Whedon's little deal. What happened was the original part of that was supposed to be the first episode of the series, but Fox never aired it.
Right.
Or the original finale of the first series or something.
Yeah, it was on the DVD and I never got to see that.
Yeah, and then they show this second part like it's the finale. Like, what the hell is this?
We are the mainframe.
And why should I care?
I know. It built up to something cool and then it just kind of...
Loves it when you're corny.
Huh?
What about corn?
This is cool.
All right, next Blu-ray is The Hangover Extreme Edition.
Whoa, to the extreme, guys.
Wonder if it comes with a bottle of Mountain Dew. Yeah, this is one of those movies I felt was highly overrated.
Yeah.
You have some good aim.
Yeah, I kept hearing, oh, this movie's hilarious. I laughed my ass off, and I watched it, and I was like, it's okay. It's giggly, but not laugh out loud, knee slapping funny.
Like that.
Yeah, it's not that.
That guy loved it.
I love
it. At least
Steve.
Somebody did. I guess maybe you need to be a drunken hobo to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Cut his thumb off.
Living on a boxcar. Next DVD and Blu-ray is How to Train Your Dragon.
Raunchy, very raunchy.
Well, not really.
And oh,
if you
Bill,
have a 3D Blu-ray and 3D TV, you can pick up How to Train Your Dragon in 3D.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Which is a magical, mystical animal.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
So according to the Chinese astrology, you fall under the animal of the dragon.
Oh,
he sounds full of shit. He's like making it up as he goes along.
I think my Chinese thing is the cock. Or the chicken is what
or
I
the mean. Head.
No, actually I think it's the boar. And my wife would agree. Yes. Right, Steven?
No comment.
He's sleeping.
Steven?
He's yes. Checked out.
I don't even know what my symbol is.
I love you, Steven.
Thank you.
Poor Sometimes Steven. I just go stupid.
Me too. Me happens too. All the time. Yep. Next DVD and Blu-ray is Jonah Hex.
Wait, Bill, before you move on, can I just
what?
Say... What? Can I just say, because there was all that shenanigans with the dragons, but I love How to Train Your Dragon. It's a great movie. Great film. It's not actually on film. It's in the digital domain, right? But can I still call it a film?
Absolutely.
It is fun for the whole family.
I saw it by myself.
It's awesome. It really is. And I even tear up a little at the end.
Oh, yes. I did, too. I felt embarrassed. Like, are they going to think I'm, like, some creepy guy just
it
by
is
himself
so...
in the theater tearing up because a hiccup?
You, yeah, you love the two main characters so much by the end of that movie. It's great.
It is like the Wizard of Oz.
I hate to say,
like
I forget the name of the main dragon.
Yeah, me too. Steven, do you remember what it is?
I didn't see it.
Is it Toothless?
Yeah, I think so.
I just know he's a really cool black dragon.
Oh, you know that one scene where he wants to touch him, but the thing is like that. And oh man, it's such. I can't wait to see it again. It's really good.
Yep. And I'm looking forward to the sequel. I know they're already working on it. Or they were actually working on it before How to Train Your Dragon came out. That's how confident they were in the film. Which is a magical, mystical
animal. Yeah, we know. It's a magical, mystical animal, guys. Just so he can feel smart, I guess.
And a film that's not magical or mystical, Jonah Hex.
Cut his thumb off.
Wow, cut Jonah Hex's thumb off?
He might as well.
He was on Smallville this week, Bill. What is that movie like?
Yes, he was. It's cross-promotion.
The movie just looked bad to me. It didn't look good. I'll watch it when it's on HBO or something, but it. Steven?
Which kind of sucks because it's got a great cast. You know, Josh Brolin, John Malkovich, Will Arnett.
Josh Brolin, No Country for Old Men, and you read about it in the trades. You know, it's on one of those, blogs you read. Josh Brolin has been cast as Jonah Hex. It's like, dude, that sounds badass.
Yeah, he's got that kind of that gruff gravitas.
When I saw the scene on the trailer where he has two mounted Gatling guns on the sides of his horse, I was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. How did the horse not get hurt from the heat generated from the Gatling guns?
When the Gatling guns are spinning, doesn't it pull some of the horse hair mane into it and kind of tangle up? That poor horse. I mean,
that poor CGI horse.
Yeah, that poor thing.
That poor digital creation.
Aw, that poor horse.
Maybe it's a zombie
weak
horse.
Sauce.
That's going to get a weak sauce from me. What do you say, Steven?
It deserves a weak sauce.
Weak sauce.
Steven, do you need like a Vicodin? Or
he can't even answer.
I'm not feeling well. I think I'm going to cut out. All right. I'm feeling really bad.
Can you drive home okay?
Yeah.
All right.
You sure you didn't pop a blood vessel?
No, I've had a headache forever now.
Do you want to take in a leave? There's one in the cabinet.
I'm good. I'm just going to go.
Holistic? Going holistic.
He's going holistic. Right.
Bye, see you later, Steven. Everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Steven.
Wow, what a bummer.
Now I'm worried.
At least text me if you get home okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye, Steven.
Bye.
You sure you shouldn't take him to the hospital?
Maybe you should lay down.
What did you say to him, Laura?
I didn't say anything.
Did something happen during the break that I don't know about?
He's on like three different allergy medications.
Okay. Poor. Well, that's
I think
that
it's not agreeing with
it.
Him.
Steven.
I love you, Steven.
Oh, that guy still loves him, though. Poor Steven. He's never left a show like that before.
No, he never has. That's why I'm worried.
He always sticks it out.
Yeah, I could tell he was just slowly deteriorating.
Oh, no, he is Mad Cow.
Oh, dear. It's like Zombieland.
All right, let's finish this up.
Steven really bummed me out.
Way to go, Steven.
Wow, bummed us out. The whole audience, too.
Is there an audience?
The two people in our chat room.
I was going to say.
let me check. I dropped out of it.
My sandwich!
Oh, we still have quite a few listeners.
Oh, nice.
I'm not going to say how many, but quite a few. More than
raunchy,
two.
Raunchy, very raunchy.
That's pretty raunchy. What does that mean? I don't know. All I know is this, guys.
They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me.
Thank you for narrating it for us. No, then they're going to turn you into a tree, dude. Come on.
Now I want to see that movie.
No, you have to.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
Bill sent me the documentary called...
Best Worst Movie.
Best Worst Movie. I started watching it on my phone, and then I was like, this is ridiculous. Watch this on the TV. What am I sitting here watching on a phone for?
Well, I'm you just here. Love your phone so much.
I'm sitting here in the living room on my chair looking at my phone watching this, and I'm like, there's a TV right next to you, Jason.
52-inch TV.
56.
Oh, sorry.
AMOLED screen. How dare you sell the size of my TV short? It's 56.
I just know it's bigger than my TV. That's all I know.
Oh, that's right. It is 56.
That's right.
It's humongous.
Oh, Laura, it could be bigger. I want a 65-inch, baby.
Oh, yeah. All right, next Blu-ray and DVD is a good film. Sorry, had to burp. it's called Leaves of Grass.
Leaves of Grass? I thought Walt it was Whitney? Blades.
Yeah, exactly. See, if you got that reference, you'd love this movie.
Wow, Laura.
It's a Tim Blake
Look
Nelson film.
Look at the
film.
Big brain on Laura.
Yeah, way to go.
I went to school.
It's about twins, identical twins, played by Ed Norton. One is a professor at Brown University, and the other is a pot grower, basically.
Okay.
He kind of gets involved with some bad dudes, and things go crazy. And Richard Dreyfuss has a great part in it, and it's a really good kind of drug comedy crime film with classical philosophy.
Huh. You never see Richard Dreyfuss in anything.
That's all you got?
Yeah, you don't really. What happened to him?
He retired for a while.
Yeah, that's right. Then he was like, I'm going to choose Poseidon to come out of retirement.
Yes,
too.
And also Piranha. He kind of reprises the role from Jaws in that.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So he came out of retirement to get some money, because apparently he was running out.
Drawing the line on the insanity.
Living above his means, maybe. But Leaves of Grass, it's a really good film. Not great, but good.
Cool.
I would definitely recommend it. A film I wouldn't recommend is Lost Boys, The Thirst.
Oh, no.
Which I believe is the third film now.
Why do they keep making those?
Oh, man.
Because Corey Feldman's got to work.
Wait, is Corey Feldman in that one too?
Yeah.
Corey, come on.
What else is he going to do?
Yeah, exactly. You can't chastise him for working.
Sequel.
Oh, my God.
I can't think of that Corey without thinking of Haim, and I get sad.
Aw, poor Corey Haim.
All I think is this, Bill.
Springtime flowers bloom.
You're a mystery.
Yes, you're a mystery. Good times.
Baby, I love you.
Laura, would you describe yourself as tough?
Oh, absolutely.
You know what the worst thing is? People that say they're tough.
Oh, Trump doesn't like that, Laura.
I shouldn't have said that.
I'm tough.
Next DVD is Marcus Welby, MD, Season 2.
Are you serious?
And the only reason I bring this up is I've been watching Marcus Welby.
What?
There is this great television channel that's on TV. Yeah, I know. You know how a lot of these new digital channels have multiple broadcasts?
Yeah, if you have like an HD antenna.
Yeah, if you have an HD antenna here in, like, let's say the local NBC affiliate here in Columbus is 4.1. Well, on 4.2, there's a channel called Retro TV, RTV, and it plays all these old shows from the 70s and 80s. Like, in the morning, it'll play cartoons like He-Man, the Archies, stuff like that. And then in the afternoon, it's Marcus Welby, Kojak, Airwolf. these old shows. And when I'm not doing anything, if I'm just puttering around in the living room or the kitchen or cleaning up around the house, instead of a movie, I put on Retro TV. And I've like fallen in love with this channel.
I did a scan for it, Bill, and I couldn't find it. I was getting mad.
Oh, bummer.
No Marcus.
Because I know it says
you.
It airs out of Dallas Fort Worth on 3.1.
Yeah, when I type that in, it just is nothing. So
you should go to Antenna Web and look at what direction the their tower is.
Uh huh.
Because a lot of times those channels are directional. So like move the antenna pointing towards their tower and it'll probably come in.
Okay, cool.
Because that's what I have to do is point the antenna towards the tower.
There's this kids channel on available only on Nintendo called Cubo that Emma will watch. She loves this French Canadian cartoon called Gaufret about a cat.
I've never heard of that.
It's really cool, but that's the only place you can see it, on Cubo.
Gaufret?
On channel 68.2.
That is awesome.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, this retro TV, even on Saturday mornings, they have like a lineup of shows. I'll turn it on around like 6 a.m. when it starts, and they have Black Beauty, Fat Albert, The Real Ghostbusters, Archie's,
nice.
Brave Star.
I love The Real Ghostbusters.
Yeah, She-Ra, He-Man, and then they show Lassie. And I just think that's so cool. I'm such a sucker for nostalgia.
I'm like Gomer Pyle, Mikhail's Navy, old Alice reruns. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, listen to their primetime lineup right now. Is The Incredible Hulk, Knight Rider, A-Team, no. Magnum P.I., Emergency, and then Daniel Boone.
Daniel Boone?
Daniel Boone doesn't belong in
there. No, it doesn't.
Well, no. And then on Saturday, their Saturday lineup is Peter Gunn, The Bill Cosby Show, Black Sheep Squadron,
nice.
Buck Rogers, and then Battlestar Galactica.
Nice. That's funny. That's really cool.
I just think it's so great.
I definitely have that on the background. Do they show I know they don't, but it'd be so cool if they showed vintage commercials.
If they showed vintage commercials, it would be the best channel ever.
I'd feel like I was back at my grandma's house on the living room floor
on a
Saturday.
Yeah, that's how it makes me feel when I watch this stuff. It's like I'm back at my house watching TV. And then on Saturday nights, they have Wolfman Max Chiller Drive-In Theater, where they show like old horror movies. And then after that, it's Offbeat Cinema, where they show kind of stupid stuff. And then That's Incredible, Night Gallery.
Sweet.
And just all these old shows. It's so sweet.
Are you kidding me?
Anyway, moving on. Next Blu-ray is the original Christmas classics. That would be the is it Rankin Bass or Bass Rankin or what the hell is that?
I think Bass Rankin. No, Rankin Bass sounds more like it. What do you say, Laura?
What is that?
Yeah, it's Rankin Bass.
It's
okay,
a cartoon,
Rankin Bass. It's those old Christmas specials that were stop motion animation.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't the Peanuts? What?
No, not Peanuts, but I still love that song. But for some reason, it kind of makes me feel sad.
Why?
I don't know. I don't even want to get into the whole Christmas thing. That is a long, dark road to the psychologist.
Let's talk about Christmas psychology.
Great.
Huh? What does that even mean?
Well, my parents separated when I was 5. I get depressed when Christmas comes around, but I still love it.
Is it at least hospitable?
Hospitality. And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
Well, nobody's pissed on it, but it certainly has been shat upon.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's not very fun. But anyway,
Jesus Almighty.
So, what's on this DVD?
This, thank you, Laura. This DVD has Frosty the Snowman.
Frosty the Snowman. You know, I don't know if I've ever brought this up before, but I used to work with this lady who would immediate tears if you brought up Frosty the Snowman. I mean, on cue, just
because he melted, or
because he melts. And it traumatized her, and I could bring up Frosty Snowman, instant tears.
Wow.
And I would
issues.
Do it. I don't know if I'm kind of an asshole, but I'd bring it up just to see if she would cry again, and it always worked.
And I remember in the cartoon, didn't the little girl gets him on a refrigerated box truck or like a refrigerated box truck?
I thought that's where you're going with it.
But But no, she actually gets him on a refrigerated car from a train to take him to the North Pole so he won't melt.
Right, because he does melt, but he comes back because he's made of Christmas snow.
Oh.
Remember, guys?
You should have explained that to the lady so she wouldn't cry.
It doesn't matter because
no,
that...
she's just an emotional wasteland when it comes to Frosty.
Well, it's because of that one part of the movie or the show where you think he's
a goner.
He's dead.
Oh, my.
Doesn't he come back and say, happy birthday?
Happy birthday. Yeah, that's what he says. And Frosty is dead.
It is that great version of a song sang by Jimmy Durante. I mean, who can hate Jimmy Durante with his big honker?
Frosty, ha, cha-cha-cha.
Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. and then there's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is not probably the weirdest of all of the specials. In the
what?
Well, it's that one
truck
he runs away.
If you leave,
it's like all of a sudden the pasta shot thing came on. I was like, what? But it didn't make any sense. But it was
the box truck is basically a refrigerator. If you leave it running. It's, you know, refrigerated box truck. It'll be cold in there.
Yeah, and you could put Frosty in there.
Put Frosty in there.
Okay, so you've got Rudolph. What's weird about Rudolph?
This is a weird one because it involves so much weird shit.
Is that
like
it's
the
not
Misfit
the one with
toys.
The okay, yeah. I was gonna say is that the one with Baby New Year?
And... No, don't you remember it also has Charlie in the box.
Yes.
Hi, guys, I'm Charlie. It's like, whoa, 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 flaming homo toy.
It's voiced by Paul Lynn.
Yeah. I'm Charlie in the box.
Dr. Bombay. So, yeah, and it's got the, what the hell, the abominable snowman with the tooth problem.
Yes.
And Yukon Cornelius.
Oh, yeah, just, Yukon Cornelius, yep.
It's so...
A dentist.
You would honestly think whoever wrote it was really high on LSD.
Yeah. I always hated that they were such a dick to Rudolph until they needed him. I know we've always talked about this, but...
It's true.
They were dick. You remember they would cover his nose up? Cover your nose up, you're different. And, you know, it's supposed to teach kids that... they should accept people. But no one ever learns the history of time. They still make fun of the person who's different. So,
and when Rudolph came out of the closet and everyone was like, oh, my God, we need to send him away.
Stop being disrespectful.
Red nose. And the other guy that wanted to be a dentist.
A dentist?
A little gay dude.
Yeah. He was like,
I don't want to be an elf. I want to be a dentist.
And remember, he fixes the abominable snowman's tooth. And
yes, he does. He does. And then he's no longer angry.
Yeah, he's nice, and he's their buddy. And remember Baby New Year? He's so cute. He's like, I'm a dude.
With his giant ears.
Yeah.
And those blue eyes.
He's got the little rosy cheeks. Oh, is this on Blu-ray, Bill?
It was Hitler's Christmas.
This is on Blu-ray?
The little Aryan baby.
Is that what you're saying?
Is this on Blu-ray? HD
Yes,
Blu-ray?
It is.
Okay. I have the DVDs of these, and my son loves
them. I love them, too. I can still watch them.
Yeah, and lastly is the Santa Claus is Coming to Town one with Fred Astaire. With the Meister brothers.
I wasn't as big a fan as that.
I thought it was a little weird.
Yeah.
But they all are, so.
Yeah, they all
like
are
the
very,
Wizard
very
of Oz.
Strange, but they're essential Christmas viewing. The only other ones that I know that are essential are the Peanuts and the... What happened to the Garfield one? They showed that a lot in the 80s. The Garfield Thanksgiving and Christmas specials. They never show those anymore.
They do now where they'll try to like introduce a new computer animated one, and it's just like never catches on.
Have you seen that newer Charlie Brown Christmas one that was made in like the 90s?
No.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's like, why even try? Just put the old one on.
Yeah, honestly, somebody went, well, we need a new Charlie Brown one that's more politically correct. Because the original one is the where Linus goes out on stage and talks about the true meaning of Christmas and all that. I guess that was too offensive for people.
Let's give Franklin more lines of dialogue.
Let's get Pigpen in there.
Let's have Marcy and Peppermint Patty
have a relationship.
Relationship.
They've now lived together. They're mature for their age.
That's funny.
They don't understand it, but they embrace it.
Let's have the Peanuts gang work in a homeless shelter.
There you go.
That would be
they
nice.
They serve Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner and to guys that love Steven Skull.
And they are supposed to be second graders, right?
Yeah.
Are they? Did they never get out of the second grade?
Look, I was explaining it to my son. He's in third grade. And he goes, they're not in second grade.
They're all very mature.
They
for
are
that.
Very mature.
Oh,
like, Charlie
okay.
Brown's dealing with problems that a 50-year-old man would.
He's so stressed out, too.
And he is bald.
Actually, the guy from Top Chef Just Desserts reminds me of Charlie Brown. He's all stressed out all the time.
He talks to himself. He's always Meat afraid sauce. That the football is going to be taken out from underneath him. And last Blu-ray is Three Kings, the David O. Russell film with George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg,
Marky
and
Mark?
Ice Cube.
I like the movie. I like it.
I thought it was
really like this movie. I saw it in a theater with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've told this story before, but like 10 minutes left in the movie and the bulb starts burning out.
Oh, shit.
And it's like going down lower and lower and lower. And we're thinking that it's a night scene or something.
Oh, no.
And then they end up bringing up the lights and being, oh, we apologize for the delay.
It's like, no, there's only a few minutes left.
Yeah, so this wasn't part of the movie. Okay. We thought like it was like some artistic statement that the screen is harder and harder to see.
Wow, that sucks. I can remember that happening once where the bulb went out and I saw the actual melted film on the screen where everyone goes, oh, like
yeah, that.
And it was
that happened one time to me and my friend Tim when we were watching Dumb and Dumber.
Well, it was when I was still in high school. It was Lethal Weapon, the first Lethal Weapon. So I actually, the first time I ever went to see that, I didn't get to see it. And it was such a bummer. I think we even had to wait till like a week, next weekend to see it.
They had to get a new print in or something.
Oh man, it was so disappointing. But I remember there being a long line for you to get your ticket stub. And I was like, Dad, let's just go. And he goes, I'm getting my friggin' ticket, pass. I paid for the movie. And so it makes sense now thinking about it. But as a kid, I was like, I just want to go home. I'm all bummed out.
Yeah, me and my friend Tim waited around for like 20 minutes. They said they were going to restart it. But I guess they couldn't salvage it because it was just so ruined. It burnt. I mean, it's so weird to see that like on the screen that just melting.
Weak sauce.
But all right, but that's DVDs and Blu-rays this week.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. Kinda. This is the first time we've had a casualty during the DVDs. Yeah.
I know. Poor Steven.
Poor Steven.
And here I thought he was just, just had a voice issue.
Yeah. No, he was like, he had his head down the whole time, resting his head with his eyes closed. And I was like, what is wrong with him? Poor guy. He wanted to try to be on the show, so...
Well, you know what? I think he made his presence felt.
Yeah, definitely.
He had a couple good ones. Good zingers.
Yeah. What do you think, Lard? Did he have...
He will be mourned.
We'll have to check on him.
But unfortunately...
Cut his thumb off.
Oh, my God.
I remember you telling him he'd had to be more careful with that thing.
I love you, Steven.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs. All right, everybody. DVDs. No, that's lame. Laura, I think you should thank Bill for doing the DVDs.
Thank you, Bill. That was great.
Thank you for thanking me, Laura.
And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see you.
Thank you.
cheese.
Thank you, everyone. Thank
you. Wow, that was making me tense there.
Wow, that, yeah, I'm
build
on the edge
up
of my seat.
And then release. Good times. Thank you, Chewy.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to the show, episode 215 of the Nowhere Mulberry Show. Thank you for joining us this evening. If you'd like to go to nowheremulberry.com, and you'll find a link to our forum. I want you to join the forum and talk about the show. I know you won't, so...
yeah, I don't know why you're wasting your breath.
Yeah, wasting oxygen right now. But you could also call 1-206-202-3491 and leave us a voicemail, much like Ross did, or Adam. You know what Adam and Sean did this week? They went to NIM. They sent an email to nimpodcast@gmail.com and sent an MP3 file, and it sounded nice. Fantastic.
Yeah, Adam sounded good.
Yeah, he sounded really good. But also... No, that's pretty much all you could do, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think
it.
You covered it.
No, you know what else you could do? You could follow us on Twitter.
Yes.
Hilarious.
Or you could join the Nowhere Mulberry Fan Club on Facebook. Huh? Maybe? Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, and, so excited.
And you know what? I'm still putting together Mulberry Old School. If anyone wants to listen to those old shows, they will be available, but you just, you know, keep waiting.
Keep
you know
waiting.
I mean?
Yeah, I actually had a question about when they would be available again.
They will be available
soon.
Soon. Yeah, I'm going to give the soon.
Just like the book show.
Soon. Yeah, just very soon. And, you know, Laura, she has read all four Dark Tower books. I know there's seven. I'm talking about the four that we've already read. People are like, there's seven of them. No, but Laura, you've read up to Wizard in Glass.
I'm actually rereading it now.
Oh, wow. Look at her. She's making me look bad, Bill.
Well, I've read it twice and listened to the audiobook, I think, two times.
What is the audiobook like?
That's pretty
awesome. It's fantastic.
It's pretty awesome.
And it's pretty expensive on iTunes.
Frank Muller. You know, I'll give it to you. Do you have like a little thumb drive? I could put all four books on audio for you.
Oh, that would be awesome.
For a charge, though.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding.
Weak sauce.
Sorry, Laura.
Weak sauce.
Weak sauce. Laura, stop rocking back and forth. What are you doing? But, yeah, I can't wait to do that. You know, I'm really, all the time I think about those books. I just did that. You know, whenever you hear someone talking, they do that weird pause where they're.
Hell, I do that all the time.
It's like foam starts coming out of your mouth. And the guy's
He's
like,
oh, rabid.
They're eating him. Then they're going to eat me.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God!
You know what the creepy part of that movie is? You know when the dad's yelling about him about hospitality and he starts undoing his belt and the son goes,
yeah.
What are you going to do to me, daddy? It's like, what? And he goes, I'm going to tighten my belt and show you how you go without eating. And I was like, whoa, that was uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was. First time I saw it, I went, no, don't go there.
Yo, what the? This movie went from just a bad movie to disturbing as hell.
It's still disturbing.
Yeah, good times. I love disturbing. Actually, I don't.
That is disturbing.
That disturbed me, guys. It's like she taking an acid shower.
You know, my youngest sister, one time got really bad. She fell in a poison ivy bush. And she had the genius idea that if she used bleach, she ended up taking a shower with bleach, and she ended up getting third-degree burns on her arms and her legs.
Be careful.
Oh, my God. You know what that sound effect is on that bad girl's? The girl was walking, trying to clean her room where they threw all the shit everywhere. And she violently slips and falls flat on her face. It's hilarious. That sound effect is awesome.
I need to watch that.
Be careful.
Be careful. She's already face down. It's too late.
It's got to be less boring than Lawman.
Oh, my God. If you want, you have trouble going to sleep tonight, make an audio file of Lawman and just play it on your iPod. You'll be like... It was like, it's a dragon. It's a mystical creature. And you're out. It's really good times.
I love you, Steven.
Yeah. But Laura, you know what?
What?
So according to the Chinese astrology, you fall under the animal of the dragon.
The dragon.
Which is a magical, mystical animal.
No. Much like the Sean Connery movie, Dragonheart.
I am the last one.
You're killing Bill.
Weak sauce.
No, it's not weak sauce.
I got
to help
Steven head.
Bill's, are you holding your head in your hands?
No,
it was digitally transmitted.
And you know, when you look back now to Steven couldn't sing the DVD song, he really gave it his all, and I think that's what finally put him over the edge.
You made him do it three times.
I feel bad now.
Yeah, he gave up all three times.
And I just kept carrying it. Wow. I hope he's okay.
It's all your fault.
He'll be fine. He's a tough man.
Yeah, he's a grown man.
He's not tough.
I'm a grown-ass man.
Grown-ass man.
He's a grown-ass man, you know?
How about you back up a little bit?
Oh, sorry.
He's getting awful, like, verbally violent with those kids.
They're like teenage kids. Two of them are girls and one's a gay guy. And he's like, you better back up. I'm going to kick all your ass.
Hey, how do you know that guy was gay?
I think he had a bow tie on.
He's very prim and proper. I'm on the prom committee.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's a dude, bow tie, prom committee. Gay. Yeah, right?
I think you're right.
Well, I don't know if it was a bow tie.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
You know, Doctor Who wears a bow tie. He thinks bow ties are cool.
He's also, does he, on the newer Doctor Who's, does he still have that long-ass muffler around his neck?
No. No.
When I was a kid, I thought that was awesome, except if you go through, like, a revolving door or something, you could be, snap your neck. Like
torch maker.
I love that thing. Long-ass muffler.
Now he wears, like, a tweed suit and a bow tie.
They need to bring the muffler back.
No, the muffler will never come back.
Maybe they realized how dangerous it was.
Yeah.
This thing is a hazard. 4 years to knit.
They're still knitting it. They're going to bring it up in the final season of Doctor Who. The muffler is back. See, if he gets stuck in the TARDIS door, then he's screwed, right?
Yeah, he's just dragged through time.
All right, guys, that's the end of the show. We're talking about mufflers.
Yeah.
All right. See,
and not car ones.
Yeah. I might need to get mine replaced. No. All right, everybody. See you next week. Bye, Laura. Bye, Bill.
Bye.
Bye, bye Steven, wherever you are. Ha, cha, cha, cha.
Do you want to go home? Why don't you make my life easier and just f*** off home?
Man.
My kids seeing people getting hit over the face with a bag of popcorn.
It is like the Wizard of Oz.
What in the f-? Are you kidding me?
Weak sauce.
Oh!